Russia has placed their nuclear forces on high alert over the weekend, and there's a real concern that Vladimir Putin would launch nuclear weapons. Now, they're calling it nuclear deterrence, which is to imply that they will only fire in response. But you look at what's going on right now with the Russian economy. The ruble dropped around 30 or so percent. They kept their stock market, stock exchange closed. So a lot of people think that Russia's in serious trouble here, but I don't believe that Vladimir Putin would start a war unless he intended to see it through. And he likely calculated these responses. He had to predict they'd go after the banks. There would be sanctions. They've already sanctioned him in the past. So we'll see where all this goes. They have put their nuclear weapons on high alert. We're now hearing that Brazil has announced, or I should say Bolsonaro, at least, of Brazil, announced neutrality. Switzerland has broken neutrality, which is kind of crazy, to sanction Russia. China's obviously on the side of Russia. And we're starting to see more and more people take sides. Belarus is expected to join the war on the side of Russia. And it just seems like things may spiral out of control, but maybe not. Maybe the sanctions will actually work. So we'll talk about this. There's a real fear. We got an article from Barron's. It's actually kind of funny. They say that the removing banks from the SWIFT international payment system could result in cyber attacks. And these are the 10 stocks we think that will go up because of it. Gotta love capitalism. So we'll get into all that. We do have some cyber attacks. We do have some news around basically everything that will, all of this stuff, as well as a funny story of Jill Biden accidentally calling Kamala Harris the president, although I don't know if it's an accident at this point. And we'll get into all that. Joining us today to talk about this is Lauren Southern.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Lauren Southern. I am a documentary filmmaker, completely canceled all over the world, like a lot of people here, I'm sure. So,
no, we're good. Just
no, you're just me. No, all right,
actually
great.
Fine.
Came here from Canada all the way.
How's that going, Canada?
Oh, I'm glad to escape briefly from our dictatorship, so that's been good.
They're not going to let you back in when they see this now.
Yeah, true. They're going to be like, hey, that's her.
She calls it a dictatorship.
I was told to be on good behavior while I was here.
But you've done a lot of reporting before. You did reporting where at the Rebel, right?
Yeah, I was at Rebel Media, and then I did a bunch of independent on the ground stuff. We certainly crossed paths a few times at protests in Europe. then I took a bit of a break from media, and I'm back working on a few movies. I had Borderless, Farmlands, Crossfire, and my new one is American Mirage.
Interesting. What is that one about?
It's about the caravans and illegal migration into the U.S.
We definitely need to talk about that, because I don't know if you heard that the U.S. government issued a memo requesting Customs and Border Protection leave the southern border to go to Poland to process refugees from Ukraine. And it's like a job anyone can do, and there's no reason to take our border guards off to do it. So,
especially when there's not enough there. They've given up on trying to protect the border because they've got so many people just working on processing people.
Or is that the policy of the Biden administration to have no border?
Yeah, it's half and half. I mean, when you want to get into the documentary,
we'll do it.
You will, but.
All right. We also have Seamus.
You missed me. Don't even sigh like that.
We missed you, Seamus.
Tim, they were calling, begging for me to come back.
It's true.
It's true. We were.
And I am glad to be here. I thought, you know what? I'll do him a favor. I'll head back over to the cast castle. And I also couldn't be separated from you lovely folks at home. I missed you all so much. Seamus Coughlin of Freedom Tunes. I release animated cartoons on my YouTube channel every single week, sometimes twice a week. We got a funny one coming out this Thursday, so I hope you all will check it out and subscribe. And I am looking forward to this conversation.
Glad to see you, Seamus.
When you see Lauren Southern on the camera, behind her is this very beautiful wooden TimCast sign. Behind any guest,
it's
honestly.
It's okay.
And Seamus has this I think it says two by four plank.
It says well, yeah, no, there was
Timcast.
A typo on
Timcast.
That one.
You're blocking the S.
There was a typo on that one. It says TimCast in the name. It's Shimcast.
It's actually Timcast.
We were sent that in the mail by a fan who cares about things being done properly, I guess.
I think it's funny that, you know, World War III is breaking out and we're doing silly jokes about Shimcast and Seamus.
I mean, we can't stop joking.
Right.
It's true. Humor is part of being human.
Mm-hmm. That's
kind of the center point, or one of. Maybe eating is another one of them. Hey, I'm glad you're here, Lauren.
I'm happy to be here.
You were like focusing on immigration way before I realized the danger, and then I started studying like Roman history, the history of the fall of the Roman Empire, and stuff, and how basically unfettered immigration is the reason that fell. Any country that just lets other cultures come in and then set up shop and create the government is now that government.
Yeah, I've never understood the reaction to my conversations about immigration. People always just lose their minds. This is racism. Immigrant is code word for like anyone that's not white to you, and that's why you don't want mass immigration. And I'm like, anywhere except the West, I am a liberal. I'm like far left. If you go to anywhere in Asia, anywhere in Africa, even if you go just down to Mexico, they're like, nope, no foreigners in, close these borders. We want to protect our own first. And I'm like, all right, we just need to, you know, slow it down a bit. And that's racist here. I'm a liberal by non-Western standards, but you're far right if you're living in America and say these things.
Yeah. We got Lady pressing the buttons.
I am pushing buttons in the corner. I have a lovely lady here with me tonight. I'm very excited. I always love that feminine energy. It's going to be a great chat. I'm excited.
Before we get started, my friends, head over to TimCast.com. Become a member to help support our work. As a member, you'll get access to exclusive segments from this show that go up Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. So we'll have one, an exclusive episode with Lauren up later tonight. You won't want to miss it. And you keep our journalists employed. But don't forget also to smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. And I just want to point out as well, I made that comment about, you know, like World War III is coming. I don't know if World War III is really coming. We have a serious conflict in Europe. I just think it's funny that we're at this point in time where you have, you know, a group of people of varying political backgrounds are here to do a podcast and have a very serious discussion. And it's like, yes, yes, the situation in Ukraine is growing very dire. So smash that like button.
That's right.
Subscribe. So that culture around YouTube where it's like this exaggerated youthful exuberance is now being, you know, it's a part of war with Russia.
No, it's true. If you, when you look at news reports from the 1940s and like, we need to help our boys who are overseas. And then when people look back on our conflicts, I'm like, hit the like button, subscribe, come check our channel.
Vladimir Putin just shelled a mall killing civilians. Smash that like button.
Did you guys see the Applebee's commercial?
Yes.
That was like wild.
Wait, what was this Applebee's?
Oh, you gotta see it.
So there's air raid sirens going off in Ukraine. And then all of a sudden it just breaks to like this cowboy guy doing a butt shuffle dance. And it's like cold beer on a Friday night. And it's like, hit your wings.
Wait, this is an actual Applebee's commercial.
It was on like channel was CNN. It on? CNN?
CNN was showing a live shot of
the
air raid.
Oh, and then it cuts to an Applebee's commercial.
And then it's just a little window with the air raid sirens in the corner. It's like live Ukraine air raid sirens and the big Applebee's. I guess Applebee's got pissed and they announced they're like pulling ads or whatever. Oh, anyway, let's get serious.
I'm surprised anyone saw that. It was on CNN.
I know, right?
Well, that's true, but it went viral on Twitter where everyone mocked them. Well, let's talk about this, this first story. And, we have this from CNN of all outlets. Huh. I like using CNN when it's something like this. White House responds to Russia's decision to put deterrence forces on high alert. They say, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Sunday that Russian President Vladimir Putin's decision to put Russia's deterrence forces, which include nuclear arms, on high alert are part of a wider pattern of unprovoked escalation and manufactured threats from the Kremlin. This is really a pattern that we've seen from President Putin through the course of this conflict, which is manufacturing threats that don't exist in order to justify further aggression. And the global community and the American people should look at it through that prism, Psaki told ABC's George Stephanopoulos on This Week. Well, the news there is that in response to the sanctions, the escalation, and I guess what Putin says is aggressive language towards Russia, they've put all of their forces on high alert, which includes nuclear weapons. And then you had this guy on Russian TV who said, what's the point? Something like, what's the purpose of the world without Russia in it? And then said, we've got 500 nuclear submarines. We can launch these warheads and, you know, we could basically wipe out NATO and the U.S. I guess the question is, saber rattling, hyperbole, or should we all go hide in the basement?
There's absolutely going to be nukes dropped.
You think so?
Hassan Piker just said there wouldn't.
Oh, there we go.
My man's reversed Nostradamus. We're screwed.
Reverse.
Done for, guys.
I want to launch them on Mars. I think if you nuke the poles on Mars, doesn't that start an atmosphere or something?
You think Russia's going to do that?
That, you know what's funny about
it? Maybe we could work together, yeah.
What's funny about
that
statement?
We'll take the North Pole, they can take the South Pole.
It has like 1% of what, of like relevance to the conversation.
I know, I'm just trying to make it better.
You are talking about nukes.
Save the world.
Wrong planet.
I hope there's no nukes. Or right planet. I mean, why would anyone do it? It seems like if you launched a nuke, that would be the end of everything.
No, I disagree.
The surface. You don't think the surface would just get fried after that?
Huh. U.S. did it. They got away with it. Drop a few cheeky
nukes. Before anyone else had
that. That was before ICBMs.
So look, the fear is mutually assured destruction, right? Mm-hmm. Not real. I don't believe in it. I don't think it's a real thing. Mm. So you guys ever see that movie with, what was it, Matthew Broderick? No, War Games?
War Games, yeah, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick.
And like all the missiles are like flying in the air or whatever. And then there was G.I. Joe. You guys ever see the G.I. Joe?
No.
Where
Demi Moore?
The guy who looks like the Pope plays the villain.
What? No, I didn't see
that.
Is it a cartoon?
The guy from Game of Thrones who was the priest guy plays the villain. And then he's like, the U.S. fires their nukes. And then so then every other country is like, what are you doing? And they all fire the nukes and they see all the nukes in the air. And then the Cobra guy masquerading as a president blows up the U.S. nukes. So then everyone else does. Mutually assured destruction makes no sense to me, right? Let me ask you a question. Lauren, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So a military officer comes to you and he says, Mrs. Southern, 17 nuclear warheads are headed towards the eastern seaboard. There is nothing we can do to stop them. But you can choose to kill 10 million civilians yourself. Would you do it? Would you be like, I guess I'll blow up a bunch of civilians?
You know, if I was a little more bitchy and spiteful, maybe, but, you know, maybe, no, not me.
Well, it depends on how the Patreon lawsuits go.
Well, but think about it.
Yeah.
It would be like...
Which cities are we talking about? Do I get to pick and choose?
Well, let's just say, you know, like we can... Russia's fired a bunch of nukes at the eastern seaboard of the United States. Vancouver and Toronto included, I guess, because, you know, Canada. You can't stop it, but you can kill Russian civilians. Would you do it? I don't think.
Here's the thing. I don't know if she would, but someone would.
Yes, that's a good point.
I think that threat exists in the mind of anyone who's considering launching nukes in the first place.
But you guys ever hear that story about the Russian submarine dude? They got a false alarm that a nuke was fired, and he refused to fire.
Save the world.
That, I think that's more indicative of what a person would do.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, there's been studies done on this, too, with like just the amount of people in war that go out, whether it be Afghanistan or World War II, and they'll talk about how much... They freeze. It's like the first time. It's almost like I'm making this up on the spot. Fake stats. But it was something I read said like 50% of the time they'll freeze and not be able to shoot someone the first time it happens to them.
We talked about this with someone with Vietnam. They were saying that the soldiers who were drafted would aim up and try not to hit people.
Yes,
most soldiers. There was a study done called Men Under Fire, and they basically found that something like 2% of soldiers did 98% of the killing.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so the entire idea was our government wanted to figure out how you could get everyday average troops to be willing to fight, because most people in a combat situation, if someone is up on top of them or they have to kill them in a direct self-defense scenario, will do so. So in warfare, if the enemy are jumping into your trenches, yes, you'll shoot them more often than not. But if they're all the way across the battlefield and you're trying to snipe and pick them off, most soldiers won't pull the trigger. And our government kind of tried to figure out ways to encourage troops to do so.
Didn't video games help?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, there was a game called America's Army that was basically grooming people to become soldiers.
Not that, so there's a misconception that
the government
it makes you more violent, but when you're desensitized to entering combat, what I was reading something where they said like playing video games helped people overcome their like resistance towards killing someone.
I think probably with drones and stuff, it's a lot easier the further and further like degrees apart. It's almost like the trolley question. Okay, would you pull the thing to kill one person or two people? All right, would you push someone in front of the train to stop the trolley? The closer you get to being the exact thing that kills the person, that's when all those mental blocks start. But they're just green light on a screen, much easier to click a button.
My favorite trolley meme is the one where it's one track and it's just riddled with people. And it says you can stop the trolley at any time, but it would hurt corporate profits. That one's good.
By the way, it was Men Against Fire was the name of it.
Men Against Fire.
Yeah, and I want to double check the numbers I threw out. I may have misremembered them, so go and look that up for yourself.
I got the name of this.
A shockingly low number of people are willing to actually engage in
this
combat. This
is the Russian submarine soldier. His name was Vasily Arkhipov, and it's during the height of the Cold War, Cuban Missile Crisis, and he got, I think there was a miscalculation. They thought the nukes had been fired. He got an order to fire, and he didn't do it. Basically prevented World War III, one guy.
Yeah, and he's like a hero, right?
Yeah.
They're like, this guy. I don't think most people would do it. But would Vladimir Putin is a question. And I think Vladimir Putin would fire nukes.
If he was fired on,
No, I think he would voluntarily. I think Vladimir Putin would launch nukes.
Really?
Well, look at, they're not really sending, they're, like, people are giving the Ukrainians weapons, but no one's sending troops in. They're kind of just like, oh, we don't really want to get involved. We don't want to get in trouble. So he's...
I don't know if
the man might get away with it.
I saw a cartoon meme of the Ukraine guy, and the American guy was like, "You have my gun." And the other guy was like, "You have my," the Scandinavian guy was like, "You have my axe." And then the British guy was like, "You have my bow." And then it shows the Ukrainian guy, and he's just got an axe, a bow, and a sword. And
like,
Lord of the Rings meme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to pull something up real quick so I can add some clarity to what I was saying earlier. The best figures I have right now say that according to the study, it was fewer than 15 to 20% of soldiers fired their weapon in the first place, and then an even lower number actually killed people. But I also want to say with my number, about 2% actually doing 98% of the killing. I'm not seeing that here.
I imagine most soldiers aren't in combat, I believe. Most soldiers are doing like logistics or back behind the scenes. Are you talking about just combat soldiers?
I believe that the study is referring to combat soldiers because that's the entire reason they were doing the research.
Right.
Wow, SmackDown. Mm-hmm. That was Sheamus giving me a nice.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. No. You could actually. I could be completely wrong. I'm saying this is what I'm imagining. You were based on. Yeah.
So the question is, why is Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine? And if you can answer that, you can answer whether or not he's willing to use nukes more accurately. So there's a, you know, this is the conspiracy theories. They, maybe not even conspiracy theory is the right word, but there is the theory that Vladimir Putin opposes the Davos Group, World Economic Forum, liberal economic order, and all that stuff. And it's not an issue of NATO, which is proven by the fact that Estonia and Latvia are on the border with Russia as well, and they're NATO nations. The issue is that Ukraine is, you know, joining the liberal economic order or whatever, and Putin's actually directly criticized this. I don't actually think that's the principal reason, though. If that was the reason, then you could argue, well, he's got to stop the globalists, so of course he'll use nukes, right? There are people posting this. There was a Ukrainian MP went on Fox News and said they're fighting for the new world order. And
I
so,
saw that, yeah.
And so this is a lot of people saying, like, that proves it. I got a really simple solution for all of you guys. The U.S. and NATO have been screwing with Russian oil profits. It's like kind of that simple, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Russia care about profits as much as we think they do. Like, I think they've got, especially in the East, they have different values than we do in the West.
Yes.
In a sense, they've got those blood and soil values more than we do. They've got the spiritual values. They genuinely believe, like, the Ukrainians are spiritually connected to Russia. I interviewed a guy named Michael Millerman, really interesting case. He's got a PhD on Alexander Dugin, who they've called Putin's brain.
Wait, he has a PhD on Dugin?
It's in, like, Eurasianism or around that topic, but he studied and translated Alexander Dugin. That was, like, his focus of his work.
Yeah.
And he had 12 professors helping him out with the PhD. 11 of them quit because they said this is too dangerous. You shouldn't be allowed to study this topic. Wow. It's because he partakes in something called strategic empathy, where he really wants to understand the Russian perspective and, like, be able to empathize for the purpose of understanding. And everyone said, no, this is disgusting. How can you have such an illiberal worldview? And now he's getting calls from all over the world of people like, what is going on? Please explain Eurasianism to us. And he's...
Well, then, that's the issue then. If you know, we mentioned Ben Shapiro's tweet. He said, Russia, you know... Putin wants to rebuild the empire.
Yes.
Sanctions aren't going to deter someone who's ideologically driven.
Yeah, right. Totally.
If Putin is driven by ideology, I believe he can and will use nukes. Mm. I mean, well, maybe I shouldn't say will. He's the kind of person who I believe has the capability and the willpower to put it, I'm not saying it's a good thing, to press the button and say, I will get what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people are reasonable when they're driven by these temporal things of, you know, money, day to day, I just want to stay safe. But when you're at that higher level where it's like even something like revenge or this is a spiritual battle, then you get people that'll blow themselves up in stadiums for it.
Yeah. But I think, you know, to elaborate on the profit motive thing, I'm not saying it's like Putin wants money and he's like, where's my money, my oil? It's more like getting resources for Russia.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, you know, what I see is, we mentioned it 50 billion times, you've got the Qatar-Turkey pipeline, you've got the corrupt energy dealings Joe Biden was doing in Ukraine with his son, and then his intervention mm-hmm. with the government. And Putin's like, look, we support the Russian people selling oil to our customers in Europe. We charge what we can charge. The West doesn't like those prices, so they're playing dirty games, like funding or providing resources to rebels in Syria, and then playing dirty games with Burisma. Joe Biden's on camera saying, if you don't fire the prosecutor, you're not getting $1 billion. Turns out that prosecutor was investigating the founder of Burisma, where his son was on the board. Conflict of interest, at the very least. Putin's like, you're screwing with my ability to generate resources for my country and my people. Mm-hmm. So that's less of an ideological and more of like a looking at, you know, a world leader thing. But I wonder if it is more ideological then.
Well, it's difficult to say. I can't read Putin's mind. I think there's an argument to be made that it isn't ideological, that it is more or less from Russia's standpoint a security issue, whereas from America's standpoint it's an ideological issue. So we see this as we would like for Ukraine to become a more liberalized nation, which is part of NATO and which is part of the EU. And from Putin's perspective, it's as soon as they become a NATO country, the United States could put military bases there. And it's an entirely different set of concerns from I either want to make more money or I want to expand my nation.
Yeah, and this would be like the last point. If they do think that the U.S. are going to build troops up there and they do think NATO is going to join, then they're like, we have this short window that we have to invade and mm-hmm. actually be successful. And it's got to be now. I want to... I want to ask you guys. Oh God, did I just forget the question I was going to ask
you
guys?
Forgot it.
Yep, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's coming back.
I actually got a buzz in my ear, and the New World Order just said no.
Oh no, that's
yeah, a real thing.
No frequency. So there was a this video on Fox. Maybe I should pull it up. Actually, where this actually I don't know if anybody wrote about it. I'd have to find it on Twitter.
Cool. I just remembered my question. Oh, so perfect. You can do that. I didn't know this until recently, but in some polling, like 80-90% of people in Crimea wanted to go back and be a part of Russia. Hmm. And I know people have said like, oh, the Russians specifically sent people to live there to try and make it a Russian majority and have that happen. But then they've got the same thing in Donetsk where there are a lot of people that want to be a part of Russia. Do you think that they should be allowed to have some sort of vote referendum like Quebec did in Canada to join Russia? Or is that a problem? Okay, I want to reasoning.
That's self-determination.
But people are saying it's malicious and Russia is specifically sending people there. So like, let's look at open borders groups. If they specifically had a bunch of Mexicans go into California and then said, we want to have a referendum to see if California wants to be a part of Mexico, how would you feel about that?
Well put.
Well, yeah, I mean, I gotta be honest.
That's war. That's a type of war.
Exactly. Tim would say California, they can have it.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
You picked a very interesting state there, Lauren.
Yeah. Like, no, I gotta say, like, oh, here's sure, the thing. Whatever. Even though the things California is known for are basically useless, they do produce, what they're not farming. Known for is useful, which is producing food.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. A lot of almonds too. Yeah. Here's the question though. The issue with the Donbass region, Donetsk, Luhansk, what some people have told us, and again, I know it's fog of war, propaganda, it's hard to know what's true, is that it was Ukrainian, and then during the Soviet Union, Holodomor, Russification, the eastern regions became predominantly more ethnically Russian as opposed to Ukrainian. Now, 30 years on, all of a sudden, it's like, well, there's a lot of Russians people, you know, speakers here, guess Russia should take it. I guess the question is how far back do you want to go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the issue here with the eastern region of Ukraine? If it was the Soviet Union, if there was an empire, it collapsed. There are some questions about boundaries and borders and stuff. Sure. California's a little different. If California is allowing people to come in as non-citizens and then, you know, they have kids who then become citizens and within 18 or 20 years, they vote for secession. You got a serious question about whether or not there was an intentional act to come in and take land away from the United States. That being said, there's still an important question of if they play by the rules, if they're working within the law, if these people are citizens and they vote to secede and join Mexico, do we respect the wishes of secession? And this country was founded on a bunch of people being like, we hereby vote, you know, we're not part of the British Empire anymore. Mm-hmm. And Britain was like, nah, and they fought over it. So maybe that's what happens is like both sides will claim their right and whoever has the ability to defend themselves or reconquer the land.
You might say like they have like some ethical justification to say we're going to be part of Mexico now, but realistically the U.S. government's not going to give up their west coast, all that water access.
Well, that's why Tim brought warfare into it too. It would be a question of would Mexico be capable of going to war with the United States military? Mm. And the answer to that question is almost certainly no, unless there was an ally in another part of the world who wanted to send their troops in to help. No. So if China said, let's destabilize the region and...
You are wrong,
sir. Oh, I am wrong. Explain.
You gotta understand, man, with what we're looking at in Russia, a bunch of regular people with guns, almost impossible to conquer.
Oh, that's true.
Air superiority does nothing for occupying mm-hmm. territory. You can't occupy street corners with fighter jets.
Yeah. That's
artillery
true.
Vietnam. Afghanistan now.
Exactly. Our artillery is not mm-hmm. going to hold down, it's not going to force people to, you know, go to certain buildings mm-hmm. or to not go near certain buildings. Certainly you can blow the cities up. Okay, well, sure. But what's the goal there? So,
well, here's
if you're trying to conquer or maintain mm-hmm. control of a land, blowing it up and wiping it off the map, it's kind of like a, well, we're losing it anyway. Let's blanket sweep and just wipe everything out and rebuild later, maybe. But you're not going to be able to control the people.
Here's why I'm still correct. Because.
Oh,
oh boy.
Because you are correct. I mean, firstly, a defensive war is always easier and less expensive to fight than an invasion is. However, It would depend on what percentage of California wanted to be a part of Mexico and how many people there would actually be willing to fight alongside the United States government to maintain that territory as part of the U.S. I don't think it's just a question of the U.S. coming in and blowing things
up.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
If there was enough sentiment in California for secession, mm-hmm. and I actually think there might, like I said, like, around a third to 40% of people in like each of the five regions of the U.S. are, you know, favor secession of their region. So the question is, how many people support secession, how many people oppose it, and how many people don't care? Mm-hmm. And if you look at like Democrats to Republicans in California, it's 2-1. It's like for every two Democrats, it's one Republican. And then independents are people who are more likely going to say, I don't care.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that if it was a Democrat secession, which is what people are actually talking about and what, you know, the Podesta, what the Boston Globe story, they were war gaming out what happens after the 2020 election. If Trump won, they were suggesting the West Coast secede. It's a left Democrat secession movement. Whether or not the United States can stop it from happening, I'm not entirely convinced they could. You know, we can talk about, you know, what did Putin say? Or I'm sorry, what did Biden say? If you want to go up against the U.S., you need nuclear weapons.
Yeah,
and it's
no,
like,
that's not true.
Are you talking about bombing civilian populations with nuclear bombs? Otherwise, you can't do anything.
Yeah, destroying a country is different than taking and conquering a country.
That's why propaganda is like the most important thing.
Well, and it's the entire reason they want to disarm people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing watching all of the, like, lefties go full soy over the Ukrainians being armed.
Yeah.
You mean like in support of?
Yeah, look
in support of. They're like, look at all these normal individuals, Boss Babe with her gun. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I love that. But why don't you want that for us? Yeah, because the Second Amendment isn't about, ooh, I want to go to the shooting range and have some fun. Well, it's for if this happens.
I think this might be waking a lot of people up to that and realizing like, yeah, we need to be armed.
Look at our southern border.
We should have access to it.
Southern border's porous. What do we have, like a million encounters last year or more?
Oh, yeah. And it would be way more than what were counted. I was just down there and I was watching every day.
I counted a million.
I counted a million myself. No, I literally just drove to one random part on the other side of a country club in McAllen, Texas, stayed there one morning at 4 a.m., got out of my car, and there were traffickers walking by. And they're like, don't film us, don't film us. And I'm like, holy, like you can just drive anywhere across the border and see people making a little journey. Wow. It's wild.
What electric fence? Can we do something like that? That's inhumane.
Well,
so here was the
issue is there was a Texas country club. There was the wall and then it just stopped. Mm-hmm. And there was a Texas country club. I guess they couldn't buy the land. So all of these human traffickers and gang members were just going to this country club on the side
of
McAllen, Texas.
The 30 country mile club long didn't care. Wall.
I guess not, because they're they just go around 4 a.m. They say there's shift switches at that time with the border guards and they're just kind of lazy and, you know, a little more lethargic, so they'll just go across at 4 a.m., go through the night.
Well, this is why mentality, culture, psychology is so important for a war effort. If the United States has a large quantity of people who don't care about their borders, and even the people employed to guard the borders don't care about the borders, then you ain't got a border.
Absolutely.
And then, so we got into talking about this because of the issue of the eastern region of Ukraine, where you have people voting to be annexed by Russia or to secede or whatever. In Crimea, that's basically how Russia gained control of it. They were like, oh, we had a referendum and everybody voted. There was a poll from several years ago, like well before the annexation, and it found that it was the most pro-Russia portion of Ukraine, that they basically were like, we're Russia, we're not Ukraine, but we're legally Ukraine. So I can believe that a lot of people there want to be part of Russia. I don't know if I believe the referendum was legit. You know what I mean? Like Putin comes in, he had tanks ready, and then it's just there. But I do think it's interesting. We're talking about guns with the Ukrainian citizens. I the question I have, I guess, is if these like liberal types, not leftists, leftists like guns, these liberal types are cheering, like Occupy Democrats cheered for the distribution of 18,000, I think it was, you know, select fire Kalashnikovs, full auto rifles. You said, like, why don't you want that for us? And I'm like, it's an interesting question. Why do they want Ukraine's borders protected and the people armed, and they want the people of the United States disarmed and our borders porous and weak?
Because they want Russia broken. Because they're Russia phobes because they listen to the media.
Russia phobes?
Yeah.
They're Russia phobes? There's a lot of Russia phobia. Okay. Sorry, I'll let you finish that and then I'll go to my article.
It seems like the liberal people that are acting like this is a fractal behavior of the liberal economic order, which has literally gone around the world setting up military bases and disarming countries. Like, Japan after World War II, arguably justified, I don't know. But the fact that they would be like, stand down, get rid of your nukes, Ukraine. Like, that's basically what these liberal people are trying to do to American citizens. Get rid of your weapons, guy. Like, you just fall in orders, fall in the path, you know, they're mindlessly, whatever it is.
Is that going to be an effective human civilization? A bunch of sheep just bleating about and then just eating grass?
No, I think diversity and resistance is more effective. If you look in nature, that seems to be what helps nature grow.
Competition helps advancements.
Yeah. You need a reason to want to work to go forward. You just go forward because that's what happens. You got to want it.
Yeah.
Okay, can I quickly read you this headline?
Yeah,
so talking about Russophobia, first of all, I want to point out, if you watch movies, you can always have a Russian villain. You can always have I'd even just say a villain from Eastern Europe, and no one really cares, right? They're like, oh yeah, that's fine. But if you have a villain that's, you know, I mean, you could maybe do this 10 years ago, but a Muslim or something, people will lose their mind. There was an article in the Globe and Mail today that said Russians in the sports world are doing PR for Putin's war machine. And they're talking about Alex Ovechkin, hockey player. And I'm sure, did you guys see the tennis player that wrote "No War" on the camera?
Yeah.
So in this article, they're saying all of that is pro-Russia. We need to basically, these athletes are all pro-Putin because they just said no war. They didn't say we hate Putin.
Wow.
And it's like a full-on, like hardcore kind of anti-Russian article. And they're talking about Russians that are saying they don't want a war and saying no, enough of that. There was an NBC ex-executive that said, we need to start kicking Russian students out of America. We need to start seizing their property. And I'm like, there are thousands of Russians protesting against this war. Like, Russians are not Putin.
You see someone vandalized. It was like a Russian club or something, like Russian-American club somewhere, like smashed out the windows.
Yeah. They banned all Russian vodka in Canada.
That's right.
In Canada.
What? Yeah, at LCBO. I went and got a bunch of Russian standard vodka because they took it off the shelves 2 hours after I went and picked it up.
I hear the Russian bathhouse in Manhattan is like the best bathhouse in the world.
Whoa. Are you pro-Putin?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let me go, Tim.
We got to experience the Spanish flu, and now we're getting to experience Cold War anti-Russian xenophobia. How fun.
You gotta get spice of life, I guess.
Yeah. Cyclical.
We had that video from Alex Jones where he was saying it's like a World War I, World War II buildup. And he accurately predicted. I mean, as much as he predicted it, he said back in, I think it was October, that there would be a big war in February. So you have to wonder.
Yes. Yeah, Where's that jar? Do you have that jar somewhere?
Oh, yeah, it's downstairs. Okay. Alex Jones was right, jar.
Yeah.
He's getting his advice.
Like, there should be more money in there already.
He has a lot of good context because that was some good info, apparently. But I also, if you look at like the way the world inflation is going, you can kind of predict a conflict on the horizon back a couple years
ago. Oh, yeah. Yep. Price increases predict all of this stuff. So you look at what's happening in the U.S. and you've got all the tensions already. And now, and on top of that, the Russophobia, or whatever you want to call it, has been around since 2015. Like, they're the boogeyman and villain.
Russophobe.
But it's a big component of the culture war.
Russophile as well.
Look. You get people saying you're a Russian bot, you support Russia. They say Tucker Carlson is pushing Russian talking points. And it's like, what did Tucker Carlson say? He said, here's what the West is doing in Ukraine, here's what Putin is saying. And they're like, he supports Putin.
Yeah.
So what's happening internationally is also a big component of the culture war. You add into the fact that we already have terrible inflation. Now this conflict is going to make gas prices worse. Energy in Europe is going to get worse. Escalating prices for energy and food and then shelter, these precipitate major conflicts internally.
Yeah.
So I got to say, man, it just feels like everything's kind of falling apart.
I was thinking about how you said culture is or politics downstream from culture. And I was like, yeah, really, I want to help the world. If I was trying to get everyone fresh water and internet, if I do that for someone that's the enemy of someone else, that someone else is going to be really mad at me.
That's right.
Because that's going to help them grow and produce more humans. But if I'm an entertainer and that person is watching my movies, their enemies don't care. In fact, their enemies are probably also watching my movies. That's the beauty of entertainment. It connects people. Osama bin Laden was playing Final Fantasy VII.
He played really? Animal Crossing.
What?
Nice. Absolutely.
He was a human being who played, like, the humanization is a problem. Like, if you come out and you talk about why does Vladimir Putin want to do this, what are his intentions, then you're pro-Putin. Like, that's literally what they said about Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. Well, this is that PhD guy I was talking about. It terrifies me how little we understand. So in China, in Russia, they understand us very well. We do not understand the East, but they get us. You'll see it. Even China will come out and they'll be like, go to the United Nations and they'll be like, oh, look at America. We need to deal with America's racism problem. George Floyd, woohoo. Like, as if they aren't super racist there. A lot of people anyways, obviously not all. And there's definitely an unwillingness to understand them because it's like that's humanization. You have to leave them as inhuman. If you even try to understand the Eastern perspective, then you're pro-Putin, you're mm-hmm. pro-China. It also scares me, and I wanted to kind of talk about this quickly if you guys are willing to, but when we talk about making political decisions in the West, it's on a 4-year cycle. It's just based on election cycles. With Putin, with China, Russia, it's all like 100-year cycles. You've seen yep. China with the South China Sea. That's been a 100-year plan. We're going to slowly take this. We're going to work on this. And Putin, how long has Putin been?
At least 20 years.
Yeah, he's been in office ages, but they're looking on long term. Well, we're not. They're like, short-term pain economically now for Ukraine. What's that looking like in 50 years for us? That's how they're thinking.
Well, there's a terrifying reality in that, to an extent, authoritarianism is efficient. The problem is, if you're, people always get mad at me when I say that. And I'm like, it is. That doesn't mean it's effective, efficient, different. So here's what I mean. Let's say you're in a car and you're driving straight towards the edge of a cliff and there's one guy in charge. And every single time someone screams and yells, we're headed for the cliff. He says, shut up. I'm driving. You go off a cliff. Just, it was fast. It got the job done real quick and then not effective. If you had everybody in the car arguing over what to do, you know, eventually someone screams and says, you've got to turn. And then everyone says, turn. And say, okay, fine. And they turn, you know, go off the cliff. So the decentralized system of power, things can be sluggish. But I think you're offered up more opportunity for averting disaster. With someone like Vladimir Putin, he can move very quickly in a single direction. China can move very quickly in a single direction. They can wipe out a whole bunch of houses and then build a highway. That sucks for the average person. And then what happens is centralized power limits your ability to see what's going on. A decentralized network of humans who are running something can come up with way more solutions, and then eventually the meritocratic solution finds its way to the top. Not always. With authoritarianism, you got one really smart person, a philosopher king or a despot, either way, they can say, don't do this, it will be bad for us. But they also are just one person, not the smartest person in the world, and they're not able to see everything, and they'll miss. You know, you put it this way, 99 problems, they find one, they solve it very quickly, it's efficient. In the long run, they miss out on all the other ones. So I think decentralization is the safest path forward. But Vladimir Putin, China, they're able to
But is it move. The safest when you are competing against people that can move quickly? Because I think it's the safest on a worldwide scale, but not when you have competitors that can go like...
I think there's another answer here. I don't think it's so black and white. So I agree with you that it's a huge issue that our thinking is so short term in the United States. I don't necessarily believe that long-term thinking is incompatible with a decentralized system. You just have to have a population that is virtuous and intelligent enough to want to make decisions that will be better for the future. So as it happens, our culture is really bad at cultivating virtue and encouraging people to move in a direction where they will make sacrifices today for a better future tomorrow. If we were better at doing that, we wouldn't need some kind of insane authoritarian system for people to make decisions that would actually be good for their children.
So a really good point is when you have a unified culture, you could theoretically have a despot, but no one cares because they all agree with the direction mm-hmm. the culture is going in. If the people of Russia are all like, we like what Putin is doing, it's part of our beliefs and our ideology, are they really going to be upset? Obviously, there are people protesting Russia. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they aren't. I'm saying if everybody in China agrees with Chinese communism and are willing to make sacrifices for the greater culture, then
I think part of the problem is, and so for the United States, even though we've always had these 4-year election cycles for the presidency, we were able to progress towards goals that took us quite a long time. And that was because, for the most part, we were on the same page culturally. A different political party taking power from the political party that was just in power for 4 to 8 years didn't really mean the country was going to move in a radically different direction. So you could achieve things that would take decades and decades to achieve because no matter who you voted for, they'd be interested in that. Now the difference between the left is so massive and we completely disagree on what's good for the country. And so that does mean every single time power changes hands, our country moves in a completely different direction and we can never make any real progress.
Well, let me clarify that. See, I think you got a little bias there, Seamus.
Uh-uh.
You're assuming they're operating based on what's better for the country. They aren't.
No, they're not.
Objectively not.
I would agree that they're not.
I mean, if you're for open borders, if you're for non-citizens voting, if you oppose the Constitution, you're literally not for this country.
No, I agree.
Now, look, here's the issue. I
never
take.
Said they were for the country.
You said I'm being somewhat facetious, but you said deciding on what's best for the country.
Oh, sure.
They're actually arguing what's worse for the country.
They think it's the best, but it's not.
I would
not.
Agree.
So here's my issue. I have, if you're of the opinion that America sucks and the woke are, and it should be dissolved or destroyed or overturned or dramatically altered or there should be a revolution, fine. Just say it. Just come out and be like, we hate this place. And I'll be like, all right. Like, just be honest with me about it.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of them do, and then we're still willing to engage in conversation with them about what direction the country should move in.
Well, I mean, like, the Democrats. Like, the actual political class and the neocons, of course.
I don't think it's just the Democrats and the neocons, though. It's been, like, a fascinating trend to watch some of the people that hate this country the most be right-wing nationalists. Have you not seen the memes where people are like, hey, you're a fascist, you're a bigot, you're a white male, we hate you. And then, hey man, come and go to war with Russia with us. And they're like, no, F you. Right. I hope you die.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, I hate this country now. I hope it collapses. John Doyle did a whole post on it, and he's like, you know, this is, we're in a regime that is conquered by a globalist liberal power. And it's crazy to see, you know, nationalists being super against America.
Well, so, interestingly, Stephen Marsh, we had him on the show. He wrote the book, The Next Civil War, and he summarized it in a way I hadn't heard someone summarize it, and I think he nailed it. He said, within the United States, there's a multicultural democracy and a constitutional republic, and they can't coexist. And I was like, yeah, you nailed it. I mean, that explains. I mean, they want to get rid of the electoral college, which would be devastating.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah. They're for open borders to a great degree. They always come out and they nitpick. It's like, no, to a great degree. The Democratic establishment's been smuggling migrant children, illegal immigrant children across the country on planes, on military planes. They're very much at odds. They don't believe in the Constitution. But here's the issue I take. If you want a multicultural democracy, okay, present your case, make your argument, go vote. Let's have that conversation. The problem is the lying. They come out and they say, we're for this country and the Constitution. Let 800,000 non-citizens vote in New York. And you're like, they're not citizens.
That's the thing. Being for the country and being for the Constitution are different because the Federal Reserve was formed, literally, the Bank of International Settlements. This is like a mind worm in our system. It's been in there for like over 100 years. And that is the country. So I don't love that, but I love the Constitution.
Well, hold on. Look, Ian, if a brain slug landed on your head and took over your body, I wouldn't say, well, I guess Ian's got to go. I'd be like, get rid of the brain slug.
You would, because you know me, but everyone that saw me would be like, hey, Ian's acting crazy.
Right. That's right. And it's been, 100 years or whatever? Or like
so you have to detect what the virus is and point it out.
I want to point this out, Tim. You're talking about the fact that these people will not come out and say that they hate the United States of America. And at some point, and I'm sure you agree with this, I'm sure I'm not going to get much pushback here, but we'll see. At some point, they don't really have to. It's like that person who tells you they don't hate someone, but then every single thing they say about them is bad. And whenever they talk about the goodness that they might potentially find in that person, they say, well, they could improve in this way. They could hold themselves to the actual standards that they've set. It's like, okay, you hate them. And I'm not going to be all that surprised if you're actually rooting for their downfall instead of trying to make them better, because everything you say about them is critical all the time.
Criticizing in good faith is different than criticizing
with trying never to destroy in good faith.
I agree with you. The issue is there are a lot of conservatives. There are a lot of moderates. And libertarians who think that the left is being honest when they say these things. To throw it back to the conversation we had with Stephen Marsh, I said, you know, in California, they tried repealing their civil rights legislation or provision from their constitution. You know, they actually are in favor of segregation. He goes, yeah, well, they're saying so are you. And I'm like, and they're lying. Well, they're saying you're lying. And I'm like, yes. But they literally tried to pass a proposition to repeal the civil rights language in their constitution. I didn't. And I'm not sitting here advocating for any conservative to do that either. I'm saying, hey, don't. But the problem is for a regular person, you know, he was saying, look, I'm about 30,000 feet watching this thing. And then I'm like, and you need to dig deeper to see exactly who really is lying and telling the truth.
That's what I want to know. What's the mind worm? What do you think it is?
What do I think the mind worm
is? The liberal economic order?
Yeah, I think it's the downfall of liberalism right now. I mean, you've had communism failed, fascism failed, liberalism went forward and was successful, but it's something that it may last longer, but it's still coming to the end of its life. It's eating itself.
Is it classical liberalism or did it get the name twisted?
I want to respond to that. So liberalism is failing, but not as an ideology unto itself. Communism fails because communism is psychotic and doesn't work. Liberalism failed because liberalism allows the malignancy to come within it.
But is it the classical liberalism was working and they changed the definition of the word liberalism, just reused it for this new military order?
But you have the freedom to do that. That's what he's saying. That it allows the freedom for that distortion because it allows so much freedom.
And then here's what happens. When I am weak, I ask you for freedom because it is according to your principles. And when I'm strong, I deny you freedom because it's according to mine. Mm-hmm. So what happens is we have these liberals. It's happening like true liberals, like classical liberals, like civil libertarians. It's all of us. When we keep saying things like, look, I understand this far leftist is saying crazy things, but I have to respect their right to free speech. And they go, thank you so much. Ban him. Mm-hmm. He's a bigot. And then you get banned. So we all keep playing fair and saying we have principles, so we want to uphold them. And they say, thank you for doing that.
A good example of how that can also work in your favor in that situation, like Majid Nawaz was in prison in Egypt for terrorism. He's on Joe Rogan. Great show. You guys got to check this episode of Groundbreaking. And it was Amnesty International. He was like anti-West, you know, anti-everything. He was like a terrorist, basically, against mm-hmm. the West. And Amnesty International still wanted him free because he was being unjustly held. And he was like, why? Why does this idea of this liberty, this Western thing, want me free even though I want it destroyed? Because that's the idea of freedom, is that we protect your right to protest the system. And he had never done any violence. You know, he had just been talking about
Let me pull this story up because this is relevant to what we're talking about. This is a tweet from Fox News. Not backing down, Ukrainian parliament member on inspiring civilian resistance. We know that we not only fight for Ukraine, we fight for this new world order.
What?
Ooh. Actual a quote from Kira Rudick. And the interesting thing is there's like some articles that have kind of framed it as though she was saying I can't remember, it was a National Post. They were like, she was saying the invasion would precipitate a new world order or something. No, she's saying she's fighting for it. But is she referring to it in the proper noun sense of what the new world order is? Or is she using this phrase as a buzz phrase she heard somewhere?
I mean, it's obviously it's just, even if it is just a buzz phrase and she doesn't understand a terrible language, especially when you've already got so many people that are like, oh, look at George Soros, loves this. This is like NATO. This country is an experimental country created to create American bases and NATO and spread liberal ideology, like terrible language when you've already got people talking about all of that. It is worth simply talking about the fact that the Western ideology, even though it's morphed into something else now, what some people would call the New World Order, some people would call this amalgamation of larger institutions, it is constantly wanting to spread itself to other countries, and Ukraine is one of those countries. And if it's just Western values that it has, that's great. But if it is getting this mind worm of all the other things that is causing America to, you know, decay in a lot of ways, then that's a problem, isn't it?
I don't know about the grand conspiracy of the New World Order. I know it's been said by several world leaders. I think George H.W. Bush said it in the 90s.
I think it's the same word as like the deep state.
Right.
Where it's like
right.
It exists, but it's not, you know, lizard people. It's like there are people within the administration that stay there even when presidents change, and that's very normal. And people can call it the deep state and they can mean it as lizard people, or they can just mean it as
I asked Alex Jones, what's the difference between the deep state and the shadow government? And he was like, the deep state, basically the administrative state, the people that get hired and stay there for 40 years and they're not elected, but they're on the floor of Congress. But then the shadow government is like a secretive kind of global governance that's in place in case of nuclear war that's going to take control. That's what Alex told me.
So here's the issue I take with this whole like idea of the New World Order is there's a weird overlap between what China is doing and people saying like, you know, Biden is a puppet of Xi and they want to bring Chinese style social credit systems here. But then when it comes to the Russian invasion, China's on the side of Russia and opposed to the U.S. and the U.S. is desperate to like, it's like begging China, please help us.
Not only U.S., are you talking about this invasion right now? The bank.
Yeah.
So Switzerland, you mentioned earlier, Switzerland defied its neutrality. Switzerland is the home of the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank of central banks.
Yep.
And now it's fighting on the side of against Russia or of whatever side
here's what I mean. Like if there was which is it? Is China's influence expanding around the world? And now we're, you know, Democrats went and met with China and, you know, these Communist Party members and said, wow, look at the speed at which you can build a highway. This is one of the stories we've heard. They went and they're like, how do we do this? And now you've got this happening in the West. Or is it the liberal economic order that wants to unify United States, Western nations through NATO or whatever, the European Union? Both can't be true. Right, to a certain degree, there can be some issues. That's why I'm like, it needs to be properly defined what it is. Is China, is the grand conspiracy that Russia's invasion was all part of the conspiracy for the new, to create
a boogeyman? How many levels of underwater backgammon are we playing?
Right, exactly. Or is it just like, make it simple, this lady said something dumb because she's dumb. You know, or is she part of a secret plot to overthrow
world governments? It's like the Australian like health minister that said this is all about what was Klaus Schwab calling it? Thank you, Lydia.
New world order thing?
No, she didn't say new world. Maybe she did. Yeah, she's like this is for the great reset, and everyone was playing that. And it's like, why are you using these words?
Yeah, really.
Why?
They do sound cool, so maybe it could just be it sounded cool. Like new world order sounds cool, really cool.
The new normal,
and it can also literally just be for publicity because then they get people talking about it and they go, well, that's not how I meant it. Obviously, you insane conspiracy theorists, but now you are talking about
that's what they want. That's in this mind war that we are in, fifth generational warfare. That's what they want to happen, is for people to accidentally start saying we should do what they want.
It's hard to believe anything you watch, nothing you watch or read online. It's like, is this 12 levels of irony? Is this a serious statement? Was it a mistake? Mm-hmm. Even watching this war live, we always talked about what would it be like if we had Instagram and Twitter and everything when World War II was happening. And now we've got it, and all we're getting is a ton of fake information. Yeah. So we've got the ghost of Kiev, who was actually, it was like a video game simulation video that went viral. And then obviously you had the footage of, or the recording of the 13 people that were allegedly killed on Snake Island by the Russian government, and like awful. But then I saw RT published an article saying, no, we actually took them captive. Here's a video of that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much different information being put out here. What are you even?
Yeah,
look at this. Hold on. The video showing Ukrainian fighter pilot shooting down a Russian plane. The Ghost of Kiev clip is from a video game, not a video of fighting in Ukraine. This is from PolitiFact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were even left-wing articles. I won't say left-wing because I don't like portraying it as left-wing versus right with Russia versus Ukraine, because Ukraine is actually very nationalist. There are a lot of right-wingers, a lot of people that support, the majority of people are supporting Ukraine, obviously. This is an invasion by Russia. But there were progressive articles saying actually it's good as long as it's positive misinformation, and the Ghost of Kiev is misinformation that is boosting morale. And I can see how there's an argument for that, but also like, no, it's still misinformation.
Yeah, I think the truth will set you free, and we should have honest information and assessments and understanding, and people should be motivated by that. The problem is you've got I think within the parent factions, you can call it the multicultural democracy versus constitutional republic, one side favors truth and discussion and pragmatism, and one side favors control.
Yeah.
The multicultural democracy faction is just like, everyone get in line. The majority rules. And the constitutional republic is make your argument, state your case.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like the truth about what, though, because I understand why and the truth, but not only are you get to choose how you want to demand what you want to demand, but you also have to decide what it is that you're going to demand about. Like, what are these people creating? This is a vague way to put this. Maybe I can come back at this later and be a little more clear. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? The people that are like obsessed with the truth, you're also creating reality. So if you drop bombs on someone, yeah, you can speak the truth. I killed a bunch of people. I'm not going to say that. That's not me.
In Minecraft.
In theoretical, this crazy guy might say. That was the truth. He was speaking the truth, but he was also a violent, evil person. So the truth isn't enough. You need to be good as well.
What I mean is,
we're talking about war and what's good in war.
What I mean is, in the U.S., someone says, I think our country should be doing certain thing. And I say, why do you think that? And they say, take a look at this information, this historical record, and what's happening right now. Wouldn't you agree with me? And I'd say, you make a really good point. I don't agree on that issue, but maybe there's something we can do. The left says, you're racist, you're a bigot, X, Y, and Z really happened. You should vote for me on this policy because Putin is, you know, kidnapping babies. Or how about, the Desert Storm, the woman who said, oh, they're killing babies and all that stuff. They lie to convince you to give them something. The problem with that is, if we're not in the service of function, of meritocracy, of effectiveness, then it's just ripping things apart. Things are being destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody says, I believe we should take this action for fake reason, mm-hmm. there's a good chance they're wrong about that action. There's a good chance it just makes everything worse. If someone's got a really good point to be made and they give you the evidence for their decisions, you can say, I understand and I agree. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, don't trust anyone who says that they're willing to allow misinformation to spread if it helps their agenda get across.
Well, but
because at bottom, what they're saying is, I'm not sure if any of what I'm about to tell you for my position is actually true, but I do want you to believe it.
Winston Churchill used to tell the British that they were going to win the war, but he didn't know. It was just propaganda. He was just trying to make them feel good. Well, if you were a leader in a military and then your country, there's some war, would you not use propaganda?
No. Well, there's a big difference between saying, Ian, if you give me $10, then I'll go save a whale and then take your $10 and go buy a beer with it.
There's difference of lying and creating propaganda.
And me saying, give me the $10, I will save these whales, and then I try and fail. There's a big difference there.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right.
But so we only found out after the fact.
If a general comes out and says, we are going to win, it's like, yeah, that's an opinion. He's trying to boost morale. That I get. We're going to do it.
And but what if he knows you're going to lose anyways and he's just doing that? This is the question. Is there ethical misinformation? Like, you think about a kid who's about to die in a hospital and they're terrified and asking you, Mom, doctor, am I going to die? And you hold their hand. Yeah, you're going to die. No, like, probably telling them you're going to be fine and letting them pass away in their sleep would be the ethical thing to do, even if it's a lie.
I suppose, we often talk about the nuance in information. Censorship is a good one. There's such thing as good censorship. People say censorship is wrong. It's always wrong. It's not true at all. Mm-hmm. When someone's posting like child abuse on social media, censors should remove that. And the person who posts it, illegal stuff should be taken down. Censorship can be good. Lying can be good. Like you said, if there's a child who's dying and no good is served by making the child suffer by freaking him out, then maybe, you know, the kid's got an hour to live and you're like, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Your parents are here. Everything's mm-hmm. great. And then they pass away. And it's calm and peaceful. They're not scared.
So, like, can that be used on a mass scale, though? Like you were saying with Winston Churchill, like, just propaganda. Even like, you know, they use dehumanization of the other forces because they'd have that problem with people not pulling the trigger if they think of if you went out and you're, like, telling the truth, these people are just like you. If you sat down and had a chocolate bar with them, you could talk for hours and have a beer, and they're just like you. Who's going to pull the trigger in that war? It's a tough question.
Oh, yeah, you got to use propaganda.
Yeah, well, this is, I think, getting back to sort of the ethical bedrock here of whether it's ever okay to lie and looking at this example of a child who's dying, I think there's also an argument to be made that you can comfort the child without lying to them. You don't have to literally say you are going to die. Or even in that instance, for example, if you come from a religious household, you actually believe your child is going to go to heaven and be with Jesus. You tell them that you're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus. It doesn't require that you lie to them necessarily. And so I would say, when it comes to dealing with people on a mass scale, if you're lying, you are doing something wrong. That's what I genuinely believe.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And I understand that's a controversial position because there are a lot of white lies that people accept mm-hmm. that you can't tell. Fundamentally, I believe that lying is never okay for any reason.
So let's talk about war for a second. Let's say you're going into war, you know for a fact you're going to win, and you stand in front of all the troops and be like, we're going to win. And everyone cheers, and then you win. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And you tell the truth. Let's say you're not entirely sure. It could go either way. Mm-hmm. But you're going to rally people and say, we will win. And that's different, right? The idea is like you have a fighting chance so long as people believe. Then if you believe and everyone's got morale boosted, I think it's fair to say you will win. I'm okay with that. If you know for a fact you're going to lose, and there's limited purpose served, and you're just sending people to die? Wrong.
No, but there are times where they knew they were going to lose, and they said, we're going to stay and we're going to win, and then lightning strikes the enemy camp, and stuff like that has happened.
Well, it's true that you don't know anything.
So they stay positive.
I think there's a really important point to be made here, which is that there you get into an interesting ethical question when you ask, is it lying to say something as if you know it for sure when you don't? I think that's a lot more complicated. I would argue that telling your soldiers you are going to win when there's a chance that you're not going to win could actually negatively affect your chances because we're just going to win. But if you tell your soldiers this could go either way, you got to fight really hard to make sure that we come out on top. That could be better for morale.
That's a good point, actually. And you would say we're going to win so long as you put everything behind it.
Exactly. This depends on you.
Don't falter.
Yeah.
I think that people perform better when they think they're going to win.
Mm. Well, people vote for the candidate they think is going to win just because they think they're going to win.
But like, wouldn't there? Okay, so you look at like the Gallipoli campaign, showing up on those beaches and just seeing everyone slaughtered around you and being told like, you know, you're going to win this war. And then wouldn't that like rush doubts through your head? Everything I've been told is a lie.
Yeah.
Everything for this cause is a lie. Winston Churchill sent us here to die.
Yeah, World War II. Like, I don't know, midway through the war, they decided to invade near Italy, Gallipoli. That's part an island.
Turkey.
And they just beachheaded it and landed, and it was just a slaughter.
Absolutely.
British and an Australian annihilation.
Yeah. Wow.
Devastation.
I think you got to be honest. But this is the challenge. The cheaters will lie, and the cheaters get that advantage. And so you got to hope that
I think in the long run, lying is a disadvantage. Yeah, well, I would argue that long run, lying is a disadvantage because you end up in such a tangled web of misinformation that you're not making decisions based on reality anymore. It does catch up to you.
It depends on what your goal is. So when you look at a lot of these establishment players, I feel like most of their goals is just individual power, self-interest.
Yeah.
They want a nice house for themselves. Like that BLM lady who owns like five houses or whatever, you know, okay, whatever. You know, they come out and they claim they're doing all these good things. They lie. Sure, for humanity, it sucks. It's making everything worse. People burn down buildings and die. But the individual succeeded in their plan. Lying helped them. Mm-hmm. Mm. They got what they wanted. They extracted what they could. And then those of us that say, you know, we got to be as honest as possible. It's, I'll give you an example. With the stories that are coming around the ghost of Kiev and Snake Island. What was I saying the other day, Ian, about the ghost of Kiev? I've not seen any evidence. It's a true story.
Yeah.
I've not seen, I've seen clips on the internet of a plane. Cool story. I don't know what that is. Yeah. It is a cool story. It's masculine. It's a hero. It's an ace fighter pilot. So it's cool. It boosts morale, but I don't know that it's true. Now it turns out at least some of the footage was not even real. It was from a video game. And so people are like, maybe this is not real. It's propaganda. And it probably is the case. The same thing happened with Covington. When that story came out,
yeah.
People sent me this video and I'm like, it's some kid standing there. I have no idea what this is. Well, look at the kid's face. I'm like, what about his face? I don't know. And so I looked and someone sent me a Facebook live stream showing what happened. And I was like, I don't understand. The Native American dude walked up to him. Why are you mad? Like people are mindless towards this stuff. They just don't care. They want to believe it. The manipulation, I think with the Covington kids really ended up being very detrimental to the media organizations. But if your goal is just to maximize your individual profits, you don't care how much damage you're causing to the system or the country or the people.
Big problem about honesty. If you see a video of a jet flying, you'll be like, I saw a jet flying yesterday. But no, you didn't. You saw a video, a bunch of pixels of some data. You didn't see the jet. And so right. When we're in the metaverse and we're experiencing reality, what we think we're seeing, we're saying, anyway, I'm sorry.
And it's only one angle. Oh, yeah. No, I just had a thought that was like, you know, I was thinking about your point. You're like, people who lie will eventually lose. And I'm like, maybe the reason that the lies are necessary is because we've had a cultural and moral decay, whereas the lies wouldn't be necessary without that, because you could just tell someone, yeah, you know what? You might die, but this is a cause worth dying for. Well, whereas today, amen. You couldn't. People are like, no, I don't want to fight unless we're going to win.
Like I was saying about the border guards who don't care about what's happening at the border.
Yes.
There's a video that got released recently. Of a plane landing at an airport in, I think, what's the Westchester? Is that north of New York? I think it was maybe, but it lands north of New York, and there's a federal contractor and there's a cop, and he's like, what are you doing? And they're like, I don't know, we're supposed to do this. And he's like, okay, well, you're not supposed to, but we're gonna let you do it anyway. And then the contractor says to the cop, no one can know we're doing this. And he's like, why? And he's like, because the government's betrayed the American people. Those are two guys that don't care about this country at all. And one's a federal contractor and one's a cop. That I think is indicative of what's happening in this country. That you would witness a serious crime by your government and be like, don't care. It doesn't affect me. You know, I think about these stories I hear from, you know, Morocco or Brazil or Russia about bribing cops. Mm-hmm. And they say it's like, it's the norm. You're in South America and you get pulled over, slip them $50 and you're on your way, right?
South African driver's license. It's just like,
is that what it's called? $50.
They call it a driver's license in any country you go to where you can do that.
But in the United States, you can't do that. You try bribing a cop.
Yeah.
No one would even try because they know the cop's probably going to be like, you can't afford me and I'm not risking. I got a body camera. It's never going to happen. But there is a certain degree of corruption that we're starting to tolerate. And that is complete self-interest. Is it so different? A bribe, right? If I give you cash versus if you overlook a serious federal crime by your government because you like the money you're being given by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've just got better PR than a lot of the rest of the world.
Yeah, American propaganda is the best in the world.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Let me tell you about where this country's at. How about that? The finest. This is a segment for all of our socialist friends out there. We have this story from Barrons.com. I love the name. Russia's swift exclusion could spur cyber attacks. 10 stocks that could benefit.
Oh my God.
That's an amazing headline if I've ever seen it. So let me break that down.
What were you saying about moral decay, Lauren?
Moral decay.
Exactly.
SWIFT is the international payment system. It's like the Society for Worldwide, what is it, you know, international or something or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Financial transactions?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, let's make it up.
And it's the banking system. So they're slowly kicking out Russia's banks from SWIFT, which I believe could result in Russia being unleashed. They're already sanctioned. They're already in this position. And now you're saying, we're going to remove any leverage we have over you outright. Just get rid of it.
So just backing them into a corner, essentially.
Or unleashing them. Hmm. Letting them off the hook, letting them off the leash to ramp up.
What's the quote? A man with nothing left to lose is a dangerous man. Or something.
And so I believe, you know, I said this before, that I think banning Russia from SWIFT would be a huge mistake because you're effectively escalating the conflict the most extreme way possible. Russia's now got no ties to these other countries or financial institutions. So if they nuke you, it won't affect them because you're now severed. You severed all those economic ties. Mm. Well, Barron's, excellent name, by the way, is saying you can benefit by, well, they're not saying you could. They're saying 10 stocks that could benefit. And they go on to list a bunch of companies like, hey, you know what they're saying. They're basically telling people without telling them directly, buy these stocks. War is good for profits. Yeah. Always a way to make money in the markets, I suppose.
And here I am trying to figure out what stocks they're telling me to buy.
Palantir.
Oh, of course, Palantir.
They say Palo Alto Networks, Zscaler, CrowdStrike, Tenable Holdings, Verana Systems, Fortinet, Telos, Mandiant, Palantir, and CyberArk Software.
So is it ethical to make money off the decline?
Why wouldn't it be?
I don't even know what the word ethics means anymore. Can you define that for
enough.
Me?
I mean... But I guess so much of that has become an individual thing rather than something we would all agree on.
Nice. Yeah, there's sociological ethics and then there's personal ethics.
This is a good question though. Is it okay to profit off the decline of the United States?
I tweeted out that I bought a bunch of Russian vodka the other day before they banned it. And people were like, this is really unethical of you to go get embargoed products. Like, you want to make money off. And I'm like, well, you know what? It's not, I can't do anything to stop it.
I think that as a society, it's unethical not to profit off of the decline of nature. Like the destruction and creation of nature. If we're not trying to profit off of it, then we're not doing our system justice.
Well, what do you mean by the destruction of nature?
And I guess also define profit.
Oh, what if off it makes it worse, like accelerates
then
it's it?
Well, yeah, definitely that's bad.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, hold on. Right. A lot of people are probably going to say not true. Rip off the Band-Aid or peel it slowly.
Yeah.
You know,
rip it off, but rip it with the hair, not against the hair.
Have you seen that meme where it's like in the event of a nuclear strike, lay down, face towards the blast, put your hands on your head. That way the blast hits your head sooner and you'll die faster.
Huh. Oh, my goodness.
It's like a dark meme.
Was it unethical for them to tell kids to duck and cover in the Cold War? Get under your desk, and then the nuclear blast, you might have some chance to survive, which
that's
they wouldn't,
true,
and they knew they wouldn't.
You're wrong.
No, yeah, depending on the distance, you actually
the
can
distance
be shielded
an earthquake,
from some of the
radiation. I see.
Yeah, the initial blast radius for a lot of nuclear bombs is not – it's not as wide as people think. They think it's like 30 miles. Mm-hmm. It's like a half mile maybe, which is massive. There was this thing I think the New York Times did where they showed an overlay of different nuclear bombs and how it would affect Manhattan. And it's like, yeah, from river to river, Manhattan is hit. So if you're in Jersey City and Manning gets hit by a nuke, you're not in the immediate blast or radiation zone, but you're going to get hit by the shockwave. So you see you duck and cover because glass and shards are going to go flying.
Do you guys have a bomb shelter?
No.
He's ready.
No, but you know,
let's get the shovel.
None of you have bomb shelter. On Zillow, they were selling a warhead like missile. Underground launch station.
That.
Did you see that? That was wild. That was
great. Well, yes. But you could.
It was like 300K.
Yeah.
Go
missile
pick
silos.
It up. Get a missile silo.
So creepy.
You could, and they're really deep, and it's not even that expensive. Like you got to think about buying a house these days. The prices are going up. 300K. What is it, like 16 floors?
That's cheaper than a townhouse. Go live in a missile silo, guys.
I think was it Jake Paul or like Mr. Beast? They went to one of these emergency shelter nuclear silos.
That'd be fun.
And it's like you live underground for 30 years in the event of a nuclear strike or something.
But does it come with the missile is the real question.
I think they took the missile.
They took it. How can you still call it? It's just a silo
It's no longer a missile silo.
It's false advertising.
Just an empty silo.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't think it's wrong to profit necessarily. It depends on how you look at it. But I'll say, since all of this stuff has been happening and getting crazier, I've certainly bought stuff that I think is going to help me. Mm-hmm. I've bought, you know, we've got bug out kits. We've gotten emergency food. That's just like, I would like to survive if bad stuff happens. But I've bought silver and gold.
Yeah.
I've bought Bitcoin. And Bitcoin just went up quite a bit. So as soon as they were talking about banning Russia from SWIFT, I was like, I better buy more Bitcoin.
When I learned about...
Well, so real quick, because if Russia is kicked off of SWIFT, they're going to have to replace their international transactions with some kind of infrastructure.
Ooh,
and Bitcoin is essentially free infrastructure. They still have to build some Russian-specific, you know, hubs and stuff. So then I thought, why would they use anything but Bitcoin? If they've already got a bunch, if it already exists and it's already connected internationally, you're effectively telling them to go on this decentralized shadow network instead of the government controlled one. They're going to be like, fine, I thought Bitcoin's going to skyrocket because of this. But more importantly, I don't want to be holding US dollars.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, man, that beer you got there, Old 690, it's a great place.
Gone.
Prices, well, yeah, for sure. They're a local brewery and good, their prices went up. Handled. And I noticed like, I maybe we bought more, I don't know, but it was more expensive than a couple months ago when we bought it. And it's probably inflation.
Yeah.
We went to go buy some whiskey from the liquor store. We get the good stuff. The price doubled.
That's the trifecta. We've got the pandemic. We've got the Russophobia of the Cold War. But now we got to get the economic crash.
The 80s, 80s gas shortage and hyperinflation.
We got to get the hyperinflation, the wheelbarrows of cash.
It was 2006, 7, 8 when I first learned about the military economic order. Basically, I was like, well, I can't profit off this in good conscience. So I stopped making money completely. I was totally poor for like a decade. Lived in not abject poverty, but pretty close to like living in my car kind of poverty because I just did not want to profit off the system. But it was to the point where I was destroying myself. Like I couldn't participate and help the system. And I realized if you want to untangle a ball of yarn first, you need to get a hold of the ball of yarn. I need to be rich to fix this system from the inside.
Totally.
So I am profiting off of this unethical treatment of our slaves in Uyghur, China, and things like that.
Rich is probably the wrong word. You need to command influence.
Yeah.
That's true because one of the greatest things money gets you is influence. And that's what a lot of these rich people want to do is buy a YouTuber and speak their words for them.
That's actually, I think, a contradictory statement, Ian. Money doesn't buy you influence. You can try to buy influence. Michael Bloomberg. That guy dumped a lot of money into this show.
He had a diminishing return on his investment.
No, it's because his ideas are garbage.
That's true.
You know, so he dumped, half a billion dollars?
Yeah.
So people were saying it was really funny. They were like, Tim, you did a video ragging on Michael Bloomberg and a Bloomberg ad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would like to thank Michael Bloomberg for sponsoring a video where I rag on him for 20 minutes.
We did a cartoon about this when the Bloomberg advertisements were everywhere, just ripping on the Bloomberg advertisements. If you all want to check that out. And people were commenting like, oh, I got a Bloomberg advertisement for this. Of course.
Because he's trying to counter that messaging from you, but it doesn't work.
No, so, it makes my video funnier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look, there's a really funny story I read once from BuzzFeed. Maybe I shouldn't say it's funny, but there's this YouTuber who had 300K subscribers and was working as a waitress. And she said one day a little girl was like, oh my God, you're so-and-so. Why are you working as a waitress? And she was like, oh, it's a job. And then she went in the back and cried because like she's famous but broke. Yeah. And it's like, yes, you can have a lot of influence and no money.
Well,
influence is more valuable in a lot of ways.
And depending on the type of influence you're trying to do, if you're trying to threaten systems that do have more money than you, there is a cutoff point for how influential you're going to be. Because if you don't have any money to fight back what these people are going to do to you, they will steamroll you. The rich can absolutely squash the poor in anything. This is why the press focus on YouTubers when they slander people. You know, you'll have someone, who's the guy from Braveheart? I can't remember.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. This beer hit hard.
Yeah. It should have.
You'll literally call Jews oven dodgers, and you'll get plenty of articles from mainstream media that are like, Mel Gibson on a fancy vacation at this show, at that show. But a YouTuber will say one off-color word, like, they'll say retard once or something, and that'll get a whole article in all these different outlets. They'll only be referred to as extremist, right wing, this, that, because they know they can get away with it because Mel Gibson can afford massive amounts of lawyers and representative, whereas YouTubers don't really have that.
I think we've got with Kyle Rittenhouse's, you know, he's going to do those.
Yeah, but he's going to be bankrolled.
No, for sure. But I'm saying him and Project Veritas, I think, are going to help change that game.
But they're still, they hit that threshold of the amount of money you have to be able to fight back against elites. Because if you are just small, if you're someone, I mean, Tommy Robinson had money, but you can just send someone to jail. Bam.
Or you can block the crowd
you can't afford
funds.
A lawyer. Yeah.
If they know you're threatening, the idea is to change the system without them realizing that it's a threat. Like Uber appeared and it was a threat to the taxi system, but they didn't realize it till Uber was prevalent.
I just think people got to sue Wikipedia.
I would love to do that, but every lawyer has said not possible.
Oh, yeah. So you were talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before the show because I said this to James O'Keefe as well. I said, sue Wikipedia, the organization, directly. And the issue everyone says is, oh, but it's user-generated content. No, it's not.
Well, then why does every lawyer tell me that it's not possible?
Because they haven't gone to the website and looked at it.
If there's a lawyer watching this that can sue Wikipedia with me, send me an email.
So you guys are saying before the show, you're saying on Wikipedia, you go to a Wikipedia article.
Sorry, yeah, pull up.
And then there's a byline, and the byline says from Wikipedia. Yeah. So they're basically claiming they are the author of this story. And
We have this story from Wikipedia. Lauren, Cherie is a Canadian alt-right political activist and white nationalist and YouTuber. Lauren, are you alt-right?
I'm not alt-right and I'm not a white nationalist, but they, well, and you know, in an article with a living person, you have to at least after this put someone's rejection of a label, and they just won't even do that. And that's in their own, like, terms of, you know, how the website should function. They just don't care. Wow.
Well, so here's the issue, right? You can see they've got weird, interesting, the sources here for alt-right, and there, it's an A and a B.
Oh, and you're not supposed to use opinion pieces for, like, hardcore claims that could hurt someone's reputation, but they do it anyway.
Here's the funny thing. On my Wikipedia, they don't. They've actually rejected a bunch of op-eds that were too over the top.
Bro, I don't know how you got away with that. They hate me.
Because he knows Wikipedia can be sued, Lauren.
Because I keep, well, so with the articles about me, there was one, this is really interesting. It said, Tim Pool has donated to multiple Republicans. And then someone in the talk section said, if you actually search federal records, Tim Pool has donated to more Democrats than Republicans. Sure, you can say he's donated to, because it's like, I think it's like Rand Paul.
But it's about what's left out of the story that matters.
Exactly. And so, but then the editors were like, I don't think this is an accurate piece if they're omitting something like this. And so they rejected it outright.
Yeah, I always look at this and they could, you know, I would consider myself a documentary filmmaker. You wouldn't even know I made documentaries if you read my Wikipedia page. And that's what I've gotten the most views for is my films that I've made. And you wouldn't even know reading this
page.
Well,
so here's the point we were bringing up with lawsuits. This is what I said to James O'Keefe. It says on Wikipedia.com, .org, sorry, Lauren Southern from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. So, you know, there's some serious questions that need to be answered by many different courts from many different countries. It may be that I'm wrong, and the court decides that if a media outlet includes a byline of their own corporate name, but commenters provided the information for the formation of that article, you can't sue them. I would love a judge to pass that precedent and then just watch the absolute psychotic chaos that would unfold on the internet. So right now, that's what you need to understand about Wikipedia. First, I'll present it to you like this. If Seamus over here, me? Freedom Thunes,
yeah.
Coughlin,
yeah, over here,
posts on Twitter that Lauren Southern is, you know, a big stupid doo-doo.
It's true.
No,
she's the worst
Lauren Southern,
out there.
Lauren Southern did a backflip. A statement of fact. And that causes you damages because you have a vow of no backflips. Well, you can't sue Twitter because the post says at Seamus Coughlin.
Yeah.
But what if it said at Twitter on it? You could sue Twitter, right?
Of course. The premise makes sense, but I've never seen anyone do it. What I have seen people do is, so it's the whole, what's a publisher and what's a platform? What is it? Section 230 that covers this in the States.
Yeah.
And people in Australia, they've sued Google, because Google, they choose what articles you see. They're a publisher. They publish things. And they use Wikipedia as their main source. It literally comes up in a separate sidebar. Like if you look up on Google, right. Lauren Southern, they feature that and publish that. So you can sue Google for this because that's what they publish. And it's been successful in the courts before.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm saying. So when we had James here, I mentioned this and he was like, yeah, but you know, section 230. And I'm like, yo, the byline on this Wikipedia article is Wikipedia, no one else. So imagine this. Imagine at timcast.com, I tell people, hey, if you comment, we'll take all your comments and then post it as a legitimate news article. Could you imagine if it said, you know, timcast.com/article, byline, Tim Pool, and then it said, you know, a political, high profile political individual took action, you know, did something that was clearly false, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi punches baby in face. And then like, clearly defamatory, clearly libelous, clearly slander, but well, you can't sue me.
But does the language matter here? Because it says from Wikipedia, not by Wikipedia, and then it'll tell you these specific editors who put it.
I'd love a judge to answer that question.
Yeah,
because if a judge says, "Well, you know, that doesn't really count," then I'll be like, "Then I would love a judge to explain how you can have an article. It says article on the article with a headline, Lauren Southern, with a byline below it." And now the organization that published it is exempt.
Wait. Whoa. I'm reading something on here. It says I was demonetized by YouTube and banned from PayPal. I've never been banned from PayPal. I use PayPal every day.
What trash.
And I'm not demonetized on YouTube.
So that's a false statement.
That's not even true.
What are they referring to?
You know, when I was living in Australia, my Wikipedia said I was permanently banned from Australia. They can literally just make shit up. It's wild.
But so the issue is it needs to be tested in the courts and we need this. I don't know if it would go to the Supreme Court or where it would end. But a judge needs to answer for how this applies to Section 230 because Wikipedia does allow. Here's another thing. You see that lock symbol next to your name?
Yeah.
That means it is not open to the public.
Interesting.
The lock means only specific Wikipedia individuals. I have no idea how to access that.
Right.
I would have no idea how to edit your page as a member of the public.
Okay, so here's another, this is a whole on conspiracy world that I'm going to get into. There's an editor on my page, his name's like Gray something, and he all day, every day, is sitting there editing like Michael Malice's page, Jack Posobiec's page, Cernovich, all of these big right-wing figures. I swear he's being paid by some sort of organization to do this. Like, I genuinely believe there are people being paid to edit Wikipedia articles. And
I would be shocked if there weren't.
No. I know them.
You do? Okay, so I'm not crazy, because I was like, this guy, how is he sitting all day on Wikipedia just fighting in the comments section?
They're called reputation management firms.
Yes.
Yeah, I tried to change Hillary Clinton's Wikipedia after the emails dropped and talk about Sidney Blumenthal and Osprey Global Solutions, and within like 30 seconds it was removed, or within like 6 seconds.
And they're just sitting there monitoring it, because they're getting paid to do this. And you're right, they've done reputation firms. Well, they'll create fake articles and put the astroturf of them on Google.
I actually know people who do this. I've actually had events put on. So I did an event a while back with a buddy of mine, and one of the sponsors of the event was a reputation management firm. Here's how it was explained to me. They were like, you ever have the media lie about you? Okay, well, here's what we'll do. We will get placement in several medium tier blogs of stories, and then we know how to work SEO to make sure they appear on the top of Google and then make them more prominent. Then we'll go in and we'll have our employees argue on Wikipedia against the inclusion of defamatory content.
Yes.
Now, of course, these guys didn't say to me, like, we're going to lie and cheat and smear people to ruin their lives. They said the opposite. They were like, the media writes fake stories. We protect you from that. That's how they frame it. Now, it may be the people I know actually are, you know, doing the right thing. But there are people who do the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is what's scary is that obviously can be used in the reverse. The media are writing accurate articles about you, and you're having the wealthy can pay. I did a video on this called Sainthood for Sale. You can literally pay for your reputation. And if you can't afford your reputation, if you're a 19-year-old kid or even a high schooler that just gets slandered in a local paper as a racist, and you don't have anything else online about you, and that's the first thing that comes up, your job options are limited in the future. You're screwed over, and you're not going to have money for a lawyer. You're not even going to know the first thing what to do. Whereas if you're extremely wealthy,
I actually buy sainthood. I think actually there's something interesting here with the your Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. There's a question over, I think the question of whether you can sue them has to do with whether or not they're making opinion statements that, you know, but I think if Wikipedia actually says something happened to you that isn't true, I think it's clear cut lawsuit for Wikipedia. So they have the biography. Well,
don't you have to prove malice in America?
Yes, you have to prove that, so actual malice is not like hatred. It means that either they knew it was false, or they were reckless as to the publication of the information.
Oh, reckless, I'd say that. Yeah.
Well, so there's an interesting thing here that Wikipedia might win the suit on the question of malice and be like, we didn't know this person was doing this, we'll ban them instantly. You know, and then that's all that can ever really be done. I don't know for sure. I think it needs to be answered.
I also really want to clarify for the public, because people say this all the time. They're like, oh, well, if it's untrue, just sue them. Any lawyer you go to about defamation, they'll initially say to you, all right, $100,000 down payment.
Yep.
And there's like a 5% chance we'll win. Like,
that's right.
And then you have to pay all throughout the years for that. Like, do you think people, oh, just sue them? No, the media can get away with so much nonsense.
Real quick though, Lauren, I'm pretty sure if you started a give, send, go to, just hire, you know, lawyers and do these suits, I'm pretty sure you'd make easily.
This is what terrifies me, and you should do that. We'll go into this in a second, but that's why Justin Trudeau calling up the emergency acts and slamming down on the crowdfunding is like, I was always like, well, at least you can crowdfund it. Well, if we want to buy public property and turn it into a private property and turn it into a public park, at least we can crowdfund it.
Which is why money doesn't always buy you influence. But if you have influence, you can often get money. So I don't know your financial background. I don't think you're a millionaire or a billionaire, Laura. I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, me?
Here's my point though. People know you well enough. They like you enough that if you said, this is defamatory, slanderous. Not only is it to, damages might be a challenge in a lawsuit. What damages have you incurred due to them calling you a white nationalist? There could maybe be an argument for, familial, emotional. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be tough. But my point is, if you said, hey, I'm going to sue Wikipedia and I need help, people will help you. And, you know, that's influence.
Yeah, it's from, I've spoken to lawyers, and, you know, even pro bono lawyers that I've spoken to, they're just like, it's so hard. Like, very, well, very few people are successful. And, the only successes, like I said, have been on Google. I haven't found a single successful Wikipedia lawsuit.
Maybe
there's like one, but he like bankrolled the absolute crap out of it.
Gotta try.
I would imagine it's hard. Like, not only is it expensive, but it takes a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And they just want to make your life.
Yeah.
You're in your 20s.
They will torment you to make sure you don't set a precedent. Torment you.
Just keep you in the legal system for a decade if they can. And I've never sued it, partly because I don't like involving the legal system unless it's absolutely last, you know, the last
choice.
Get
the wide shot ready.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to wide shot, ladies and gentlemen. Are you prepared for this?
We're just getting
rolling
ready
initiative.
For now.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to see what's going to happen.
So, thank you. I don't remember. What was I talking about?
What's the wide shot? I have no idea
something's
what's happening.
Happening.
What's
something's happening.
Oh, God,
something's
scary.
I'm sure everybody already knows in the audience.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. We're getting the cameras ready.
Why not
ready.
In on the joke?
Roll 100.
It's not a joke.
Oh, God. I'm scared. I'm about to
be
sacrificed.
I rolled a 17. It's confirmed. Should we talk about it then?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
But you were told they're coming up?
I was told.
We were swatted again.
Yeah, again.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh,
yeah.
I should put the
maybe
sword down.
Maybe we can talk to him on camera. Do you?
No, he's going to pull the wide camera up. Anybody who wants to walk in here is going to be on. They're going to be on live.
Yeah.
You think they would be interested? Well, I guess ask him when he comes in.
No,
he's busy. He's on duty, so maybe not.
Right.
Are you serious? You got swatted again?
Yeah, third time.
Third time's a charm, I guess.
They know that's been happening, so they're ready for it now.
But I don't understand why they're coming up and coming in. They do a basic check now because they know us.
I don't know why
and it was like it was big news in the air. You can't get it.
No, let me see.
Give me the wide.
So they're going to actually come in here? I didn't. I've watched this
saying,
on
right?
Twitter.
Oh,
I can't believe I'm living
it. They're
going
to come into this room.
Yeah, it's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so they'll be visiting us again.
Just to make sure no one's getting choked. You know, they're doing their job.
I want
to
maybe you should
for my
push that over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like,
a table.
We have a, not so I will say this. I used to have a mall sword behind me. It's a mall sword. I went to a game store. And it's like some anime sword. I don't know what it is. And I thought it was like $20. So I bought it. And then everyone's like, what a dumb anime sword. Like, what a dumb mall sword. And so I actually ordered a Wakizashi. People are like, you've got it upside down. You're doing it wrong. It's dull. It's ornamental.
It's beautiful.
Calm down. No matter what I do, people are like, yeah. Your swords are bad.
Welcome to the internet.
I love that sword.
Are they coming up? What's happening?
That's what I heard. Let's see what happens.
Anticipation. It might happen during the super chats.
Yeah,
well,
so
I guess we're just chilling. It's a wild night, man.
That's
2020
crazy.
Is crazy, you know? This is so the first time we got swatted, it was right after Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that was probably the worst one because it was the first. So the cops, like, we had a ton of cops here. It was crazy. And they came up, the door opened, there was a cop there, and he's like fanning for me to come. I'm like, we're live in the middle of a show, like, I'm not getting up. And these cops are peeking in. The cop walks in, looks around, and I'm like, what is going on? Luke was here, and he just keeps talking. Like, then he watches the cop leave. So then once I figured out what had happened, and I got the message saying, like, we were swatted, I was like, okay. Then I got up and ran out and said, what happened? They told us. That was the day after Marjorie Taylor Greene was here. She was here on January 5th.
Yeah.
And so what I think happened was the show goes live at 8 p.m. on January 5th. It wraps up on YouTube at 10 p.m. on January 5th. That means most people won't get the notification for it until January 6th, of all days, to have Marjorie Taylor Greene. So then somebody swats us.
You know,
the next time it happened, I think it was the day after we had Andy Ngo and
James
O'Keefe.
Did you ever find who was doing it?
Top men are on it.
Okay.
Top.
All right.
And this is the thing. Swatting is not a joke. Swatting is a terroristic activity.
You're
putting cops in potential harm's way. You're putting people in potential animals in harm's way. People can get killed. It's not a...
Oh, dude. I literally just had like a nervous like...
Yeah, but my gun's on fire
right
now.
I'm like, what if a cop walked in and I was literally holding that sword?
Yeah.
I was actually like, oh, I'm going to process that.
You shouldn't feel that way.
this person is a terrorist. Whoever made that phone call is a terrorist. Is a domestic terrorist. And they might not be American, but they're a terrorist.
I didn't want to bring it up. That it happened, you know, so like Lydia's messaging me and I'm just like, I'm just going to look.
I was wondering what you two were on about.
Yeah, I was like,
nervous.
I never
had
text.
That's good.
Then when we heard that they were coming up, I'm like, okay, well, we
have to say something.
Now we better say it. Otherwise, you know, it's going to abruptly happen. So I'm trying to verify exactly what's going on. I'm messaging people.
Yeah, I'm curious what happens. I guess we'll just have to wait.
I think the second time they came by, they didn't come up here.
Talk
to people downstairs and then left.
Maybe. Yeah, they did like a sweep, but
they weren't on the show.
They know what this is. And here, I'll tell you what really bothered me about the first time it happened was when they came here, they said it was exigent circumstances. They have a right to enter the property. But they also said on the radio, we think this is it's a swatting because it's a political podcast, which means they outright lost exigent circumstances right away by thinking that. They have to believe that there is something happening to they can violate our Fourth Amendment rights. I'm not a fan of that. Like, I can respect them coming in, rushing into danger and all that stuff and being like, but if they genuinely think it's a swatting, like, why are you here, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I guess it's good that they keep coming.
Yeah.
Well, can't they just, like, check the stream and be like, oh, okay.
Oh, look who they have.
They probably do. That's probably why. But there's so many employees in the house that it's,
yeah,
just to be safe.
I have no idea. But that's why I'm like, I can't believe they're actually going to come up. Right?
I'm glad they do. I'd rather they check on us.
I suppose.
Give them a little high five.
This is all like a hostage situation, and we all just have to act. We've got signs telling us to act normal. Nope, cop, I'm joking. Although that's what the sign says.
It's like everyone can see that's not true.
The most on good terms you can be with a cop is in a moment when you're being swatted. Like, they're so much on your side at that point because they think something bad is happening to you.
Yeah,
it's important to keep in mind if something like that happens.
We think
this is a first for
me.
So they
might not be coming up. Swatting as well.
Okay, disappointing.
What'd you guys think?
Look at that. Well, it was interesting. It's not over yet.
I want to make light of it, but it's such a horrible thing to do. Just a dangerous, devilish, terrible thing to do to a human is this using.
Agreed.
But we're at war, you know, or maybe we're not. We haven't been at war since World War II, but the world is in some sort of psychological conflict. So I understand why. I'm just telling you that it is very bad, very dangerous, and don't do it again.
Well, thanks for coming, Lauren. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for almost getting me killed, guys.
No.
I'm not in on the joke. Oh, Lauren's holding a sword.
Sorry, Lauren. Nice
play. It wasn't a joke. God. Maybe that's why, you know, we'll get a little red light. It says like swatting on it.
Yeah. Good idea.
To be honest, if he walked in and you had the
sword. Everyone put the weapons down. Yes.
If he walked in and you had the sword, he'd probably be like, nice sword, and look around and make sure no one's getting hurt and then walk out.
Yeah. Maybe.
So I don't think they're coming in.
Okay.
I think they're being told not to, and they're like, okay.
Okay, so they're actually listening.
They can come say hi. Cool. Hang out for a bit.
Shout out, dude.
Unless they want to be on the show so he can be, like, confirmed.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Could have him pop in. That'd be fun.
So, you know, we'll get to Super Chats. Smash the like button if you like the show. Yep. We'll do Super Chats in a second. So they're meeting with them outside.
Yeah, Andy's talking to them.
Same people, same guys.
Probably. All right, well, there we go.
Putin did it, someone said in chat.
Putin did it.
I think it wasn't true.
Like, Putin is sitting watching the show, and he's like,
yeah,
I just can't take it anymore. I got to get these guys.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're good. That's why I was like, I didn't want to say anything, because if they don't come up, I'm like, we're just not going to bring it up if it happens. But
I was told they would be coming up. I guess maybe they were dissuaded.
Okay. All right, then. Well, if the door opens and cops walk in, then we will have a good picture. But we'll do super chats then. So we'll take your audience questions. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the channel. Share the show with your friends. Go over to timcast.com, become a member. We're going to have that members only segment coming up for you around 11 or so p.m. Let's see what we got here. All right. Let's see. Let's find a good super chat. Rob Matt says, if nukes were dropped, will you continue doing the show? How can we listen if the internet goes out? Some type of radio broadcast, maybe? We'll need a voice if that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I've been, who's the guy from Fallout 3?
The guy from Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Like the radio host?
Yeah, the radio guy.
I don't remember. He's cool, though.
Yeah, the radio host from Fallout 3. You play Fallout 3, right?
I'll look that up.
I think I stopped at 2.
What's up?
2 was good.
Really?
Yeah. 1 and 2.
Was like the best ever. I stopped having time for video games.
Someone super chat the name. I'm waiting for someone to chat the name of the radio host from Fallout. Three Dog. I thought it was Three Dog.
Three Dog.
I thought it was Three Dog, but I've been playing Three Dog Night too much. I was like, am I just thinking of the band?
Yeah.
Three Dog. Post-apocalyptia. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to get like a ham radio. And
we should probably get a ham radio.
Yeah.
Not because nuclear war, just for fun, but we should do it.
All right. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Shimcast with the best wooden sign.
Thank you very much. Woo! I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Let's grab a good super chat. You always got to go through them. Three Dog. Everyone's saying Three Dog. That's right. It is Three Dog. James Rogers says, respectfully, I don't believe Russia having nukes on high alert is that big of a deal. Countries in wartime scenarios often do that as a deterrence. And if Putin believes Ukraine is his, I doubt he'd nuke his own country. I don't think he's going to nuke Ukraine. I think he's going to nuke someone else. Yeah.
You know, I normally wouldn't think it's a big deal either, but you know, I didn't think that there were actually going to be boots on the ground in Ukraine. So now I'm like, I don't trust anything I think.
Yeah. Right. Like 2 days before it happened, we had, we had Steve Renee on, and he's, you know, he spent time in Belarus. He was an intelligence guy, and he was Army, right? Special Forces, yeah. I think. And he was just like, they might go into the east. And I said, do you think they'll go as far west as Kharkiv? And he's like, no. And I was like, they're saying that they're going to march, they're going to come north from Belarus into Kiev. I'm like, it's insane. He's like, yeah, that won't happen. I'm like, I agree. Mm-hmm. And then
yeah. It happened. And lots of people in, like, I had friends that were in Ukraine, like on the ground there. And they're like, no one here thinks there's going to be an invasion.
Right, so. Right. The whole narrative was like Ukrainians were living their lives saying, like, even wasn't Zelensky like, there's no war.
Telling the mainstream media in America to calm down, like, chill, cool yep. it. So clearly, you know, U.S. intelligence had some good sources, just... Yeah, there was so much. There were, like, The Sun published there's going to be an invasion at 3 a.m. the week before it happened. And that's what really brought my doubts in, because there's been so... It's like The Boy Who Cried Wolf, and you can see articles for the last 10 years. Invasion, invasion, invasion.
Yep.
But the problem with the story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, is there actually was a wolf eventually.
Yeah, exactly, and it eats him. Yep.
Yeah, yep. But no one Correct. Believes at that point. So it is a huge problem with the media that we can't believe anything they tell us.
Or you just find media sources that are better, like Alex Jones.
Clearly, he's got some good intel too. We can't.
if you listen to Alex Jones, he said in February war was coming. So I want you to imagine this. Somebody's sitting there listening to Alex Jones back in October, and Alex is like, listen, people, you know, there's going to be a big war in February, like World War I, World War II, that kind of stuff. And the guy goes, I'm going to buy a bunch of Bitcoin. I'm going to buy some emergency food. And now with like inflation and prices going up, all this is going down. And he's like, I'm good. Don't got to run to the store. Don't got to wait in line. Imagine if a Russian person, you see all the lines at the ATMs because of the ruble getting hit. Imagine someone in Russia was like, Alex Jones, good guys. Funny show. I'm going to get out cash because of war, you know? And now they're fine. And I just got to say, look, the media can rag on Alex all day and night. And he said some crazy stuff, like on Joe Rogan's show about cell towers and human animal hybrids and other weird stuff. It
scares me how right he's been. I'm like, please, I wonder why. It's complex enough. I don't need that.
My favorite meme was like, it's like, I used to think Alex Jones was a crazy conspiracy theorist. Now if he comes out and tells me werewolves are invading, I'm going to go buy silver.
Yeah.
but it's anyway. Like, you know, to be fair, you throw a bucket of spaghetti at the wall, some of it sticks. You know what I mean? But
when it sticks in really interesting patterns, you're like, whoa, is this magic spaghetti?
Or maybe someone planted glue. No, but, you know, I reached out to Alex, and, you know, basically what he said was watch the episode he did, because people are wondering how he knew. He explains it all in great detail. The clip everyone's posting is just a short clip where he's like, war in February, but he actually breaks down what he thinks is going to happen. And he's like, I think he said it wasn't an exact prediction, but, you know, if you get the full context, you'll see that it's just like a half prediction that he got. You know what I mean? But we made the jar downstairs that says Alex Jones was right jar. Yeah. I think we should have like a little jar up like on a shelf. And then whenever we, like, we'll have someone who just covers what Alex says. And then if he's right, we'll be like, all right, $5 in the jar. And we'll get up and we'll put it in.
Yep.
It's, you know, I suppose the funny thing is, though, it's because, like, the media says he's wrong and he's crazy so often that when he's right, you're like, it's an F you to the media that he got something right. All right. Elizabeth Carmella says, Seamus, boy, have I missed you. In my opinion, bring out the best in Tim. Oh. Some of that back and forth between you two is the best.
I agree. He's miserable without me.
I think the best back and forth is when I voice Dr. Fauci on Freedom.
Look, it's not bad. And, you know, we have some Fauci Freedom Tune stuff that's going to be coming out. Donor exclusives.
We'll Seamus won't give later. Me any other roles. He gave me like the voice of cop once.
You do a good Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Look at that. I
don't, but it's not as good as mine. Not that I'm going to do it right now or anything.
Wait, I thought you were.
No, of
you're going
not.
Full Alex Jones.
No, not right you're now. Not at second. Out. No,
you're an animal.
No, you're Ian, wild. I won't let you. You're space alien. You peer pressure me into this.
Pressure. So the joke we have for the vlog is that we were going to have it be that TimCast is completely funded based off voiceover royalties from Freedom Tunes.
That's actually true, though.
Yeah.
It's true, yeah. Short-form cartoons make a lot of
noise. Seamus has never paid me a single penny for all of the hard work I have done.
Why would
done.
You say that?
So much hard
That's
work.
Not true.
He's like, you're exploiting my labor.
That's actually true. I'm living off of the surplus value of Tim's labor. He needs to rise up.
That's an example of capital without money.
There you go.
Booyah!
All right. Storm says, what stories are we missing out due to this conflict? I'm not saying a conflict was started to cover it up, just stuff can't, to cover up stuff, but you can't let a good crisis go to waste. Can't wait to watch a bit later.
Mm.
It's a good question. Yeah. The trucker convoy's happening. Mm-hmm. They're, I think, passing through Missouri, Joplin. I think they just passed through.
They get here on the 5th, or in D.C., rather, on
is
the 5th.
Is it the 5th?
Yeah. That's what I read on the internet.
They're
going
to be in Hagerstown.
Must not be true.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Let's question it.
Yeah, there's already military trucks parked out in D.C. Yeah, they're worried about
I was at the Capitol today, and they had built up all of these fences and barriers mm-hmm. because everyone wanted to go in and hug Joe Biden so badly.
Oh, yeah.
So they, you know, most popular president ever, they got to
block
it off.
I certainly understand what Joe must be going through. Everyone always trying to hug me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some sense.
Joe, man, it's kind of crazy what's it's the nation's capital. It's like the people should be allowed to go. They used to. You could walk into the congressional building and walk around. There's old photos from back in the day where you could walk on the lawn of the White House.
I'm trying to think, like, maybe we don't need a capital, that we can all work online, and then if we want to go to and get together for Congress, it can just be any city at any time. They can pick a different city.
Yeah, but bro, then someone will deep fake a congressperson. Yep.
In person, you got to be helps.
Got
to
be in
person.
Yeah, because you talk about remote voting and stuff like that, and it's like they could use Zoom. It's like I've seen that Tom Cruise video where the guy they do the digital editing, so he looks like Tom Cruise. Freaky. I saw that audio where they AI programmed Joe Rogan's voice.
And Jordan Peterson. Yeah.
And Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
And then the scary thing is like, what if Jordan Peterson promised to do like an online seminar that was audio only, and it was just Seamus the whole time?
It's like, well, actually, I wouldn't even need an AI to do that. I would just go like this. What did the AI have Jordan Peterson say? What, you know, what would be really scary? What if Jordan Peterson actually said all those things and they just told us it was an AI?
What would be funny if like an AI was being fed a script of Jordan Peterson and it becomes sentient because of Peterson's like speeches?
It's like, oh, I made my room. No, here's what I think is happening.
I made my room.
Dive with me down this conspiracy theory rabbit hole that I'm formulating right now. So all of the celebrities and public figures in the world have gotten together to convince us that deep fakes exist so that when they get caught on video doing bad things, they could go, oh, that's just a deep fake.
True.
Controlled opposition.
Look at that.
What if Seamus was Jordan Peterson the whole time?
I have been.
And Jordan Peterson.
Why won't he come on the show? It's because he's been here the whole time.
Exactly. I have been here. Exactly.
Has anyone ever
seen DC?
Has anyone seen Seamus and Jordan Peterson in the same room at the same
time?
Yes. Yeah, in video.
I feel like when you get older, you'll look like an interview.
Nope, that was scripted.
That's true.
Yep.
I feel like when he gets older, he'll look like
I'll look a little Jordan Peterson.
They have similar frames.
Look at
that. They have the same structure.
It's because we have an archetypal hero structure.
That's right.
It's just how we look.
Yes.
All right. It's a matter of fact. Very high quality, high status men who reach the top of the dominance hierarchy tend to appear similarly.
Correct.
All right. IV says, Tim, I am a .com member, sub, and I've super chatted numerous times, and you have yet to read my super chat. We'll got you now, buddy.
No.
Would you please invite Tor Maras on the show? Tore Maras? How do you pronounce it? Even better if Posobiec was on with her. We will look into T-O-R-E Maras. You know who that is?
We'll look this person up. I do not know who this person is.
Edward McClung says, hey, Tim, love your show, but you need to turn your katana edge up. You're damaging it. It's a wakizashi. I got you.
Ha-ha.
You think you're going to tell me? And it's also ornament. It's actually real. It's just not sharpened. I did not want an actual sharpened blade because I knew I was going to put it up.
I mean, debates get too heated.
Do you consider like where you place your guests? Like, oh, I don't want to put this like big lefty guest near the katana.
They wouldn't know how to use it.
No, all of the the scheduled guests sit where you're sitting.
Yeah,
and you have like the little orange thing.
And then you guys
got a little because he's got a little button he can press. It. Well, never mind. Never mind.
Oh, but I did get a sword this time, so you could set me up. But the cops decided not to come up.
Yeah. You grabbed the sword.
I started swinging it around. It was
maybe
crazy.
Maybe you should do that.
You're a maniac.
Let's grab another thought-provoking super chat.
Yeah, you guys' super chats are awesome.
Let's see. Ben says, the United States is currently buying $20 million worth of oil from Russia every day. I think that's interesting.
And now they're getting like 5 gallons for that. But all right.
Ready to Rumble says Tim has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to Russia. Probably doesn't even realize that half the Ukrainian army are Nazis. I watch Vice. I've known about the Nazi battalions.
Are they the Azov or something?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. It's like, yes. Does that mean that they should not be allowed to have borders and like Russia should be allowed to go in there because they're Nazis? Like, is that a left argument? Is this a leftist who's arguing that if there's a country with Nazis, they should be invaded by another country and those
Putin said that he was invading because he wanted to get rid of the neo-Nazis.
The denazification.
That's very woke.
Well, I think their argument also, they're playing on Russia was diametrically opposed to the Nazis, at least at the end of World War II, right? So they're kind of bringing that back from a lot of the people who would remember that attitude.
They did
and
in
that
America.
Pride.
They were like, punch a Nazi. They did that punch a Nazi campaign. Like, don't punch anybody. What the heck? Don't just pick a group of people that were used to be evil and demonized.
Well, the issue isn't punch a Nazi so much as it is punch anyone I call a Nazi, and I'm going to call everyone a Nazi.
Yeah. You ever see that song by Chris Reagan?
Yes.
Punch a Nazi?
Yeah.
But he got scared and he deleted it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he deleted it. Hmm. But it still exists because it's a really good song.
There were so many people that made like good, funny, anti-woke content that have deleted so much of it. Like H3H3 and iDubbbz used to make really funny stuff.
Well, they got scared.
Yeah, they got, I swear, it's, they got scared. And then H3H3 really went towards like, what is just going to get me popular and keep me online?
I don't know about...
In my opinion.
I would try and be a bit more... What's the right word?
Charitable?
Charitable. I think it's an issue of they're terrified of losing their jobs.
Yeah, I think that's fair too. Maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm just not being.
Well, so
you should see what happened to that Freedom Tunes guy, man. He used to make these jokes dragging on the left. He just became a complete middle of the road lefty type.
Yeah, he's like a authoritarian
tunes.
Yeah, exactly. I will. It's Biden tunes now. Yes. He's the president.
That's right.
And we make pro Biden cartoons.
I think about it this way. There's a lot of people who say that they're unwilling to speak up because they don't want to lose their jobs, right?
Yep.
Well, look at people like Chris Reagan or H3H3. Or who was it? Hunter Avalon.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
We had him on the show. I think he quit. Didn't he, like, quit recently?
Yeah, it's actually, like, I don't care what someone's ideology is. He genuinely was just, seems like he was having a bit of a mental breakdown from the internet attention stuff, which happens to, like, every creator at some point. So I hope he's doing all right.
I think when you lack mental fortitude and you're put in a position of high visibility, you're very prone to having that kind of breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because... For a lot of people, they can't withstand someone saying bad things about them. You know, even, you know, James O'Keefe talked about this, that early on in his career, he would see these posts made about him, these stories, and they were wrong, and it would, like, hurt him. And he would be like, I don't understand why they're saying these awful things about me, and, like, it's not true, and he wants people to know. And then eventually got older, and he was like, it whatever, you know, I'm gonna be true to myself and just do my thing. I've always been, just me personally, too, like, arrogant, I guess. So when someone insults me, I'm like, I'm better than you, so screw you, you know what I mean? So for me, I don't care if I lose my job. I'm gonna say what I wanna say, and...
That's very helpful in media.
I think it works, right? But then you have, the interesting thing was, you know, Chris Reagan produced a lot of, he's not a political guy.
Would he come on the show if you asked him?
No, I really don't.
Really?
He has really bad stage fright.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that question. But I doubt he would, because I feel like there was a period where, like, I've known him, we've hung out with him. He was, like, anti-SJW because they're authoritarians.
Mm-hmm.
But him getting rid of the Punch a Nazi video was really interesting because a leftist made an argument that it helped Nazis or something. And so he was like, oh, okay, so he unlisted it.
It was so well done, too. He's got talent.
It was really on point. It was like, it was like making fun of the idea that everyone's a Nazi and this guy is insane and in a cult. But I think what happens is, Hunter Avalon is a good example. He was a dude who produced a bunch of anti-SJW content on YouTube. And then one day he's like, hey, I'm a liberal now. And I think what really happened is he saw what was happening to all these different YouTubers who were getting banned. And it's like, look, if you've got hundreds of thousands of subs and you're making six figures and you don't know what career you would do after this. Not only that, let's say, like, I can't use myself in this analogy, but for a lot of these people who they only have one channel and they found their voice or whatever, if they got banned and were known as a Nazi, they'd freak out because you'll never get a job anywhere.
Absolutely.
You'll apply at McDonald's and they'll be like, I don't know, man, I looked you up on the internet and maybe you shouldn't work here. And so they freak out and they're like, just tell me what to say. Me, I'm like, I'll go live buck naked in the woods. Screw you.
So I'm going to say, I know people who work at anti-extremist organizations that are completely right-wing privately.
Wow.
And so
you said coward wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like they're in that position where it's like, I'll never get a job. I'll never be able to feed my family. And of course it's when I say anti-extremist, I mean, people have confused anti-extremism with just converting someone to the left.
Yep.
Like, you're an extremist if you're a conservative. So to not be an extremist, you have to be left-wing. Even if I'm a left-winger advocating for bombing pipelines or something, that's not an extremist then, right? So I've kind of referred to, like, these anti-extremist orgs as just, Nazi job recruiting offices, because no one does a political 180. No one, it doesn't happen.
It makes no sense.
No.
it's the most, but look, even for people on the right, I mean, like, Dave Rubin made a very dramatic switch, and a lot of people were very critical of it, and he got, I don't know how to describe it, controversy when he went on Joe Rogan, and he was talking about building codes and stuff, and people were like, you know, even Joe was like, what are you talking about with building codes? Like, what is your position on this? And that's what even Dave's been heavily criticized for, his, you know, hard switch. Candace Owens has been criticized for this. They said that she was like doxing people. I don't know a lot about the history. Like, I don't know what Dave was doing before. I don't know what Candace was doing before. And honestly, I think there's something to be said for somebody who goes from being in the popular establishment side to the dangerous risk of getting banned side. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Okay, you just shake yourself out of the military industrial complex quell that it's put you under. We're under the spell. We're born into it, told it's normal to be at war. Like, shake out of it. It doesn't mean you have to go politically haywire. Just become self-aware.
Are you just like hilarious saying that surrounded by your abacus and all these
horns? That's why I have all this stuff, man.
You're like, we gotta break the spell, man. Like,
it's a joke. It's
not. Let's read some more super chats. We have Make 1984 Fiction Again. And before I read the super chat, I'm gonna mention we have a t-shirt at timcast.com store. And it says, join the city urban liberal types. And the first letter of each of those words is red. So it says, join the cult. Make 1984 Fiction Again says, city urban neoliberal types.
I like it. I really like it.
I'm not going to say that one, but you get the
point. Neoliberal is one word.
Yeah.
Neoliberal is one word. There you go. All right. Let's see. What is this? JGJ says, thoughts on Marjorie Taylor Greene's association with a young idiots conference. Saw the Eric Erickson clip that was posted. I don't know what that's a reference to. Are you referring to the America First conference? If you are, because I don't know if you mean young idiot by that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke at Nick Fuentes' thing, mm-hmm. and the media was like, why are you speaking at a white nationalist conference? And she was like, I was speaking to people at a conference to tell them about ideas I believed in or something like that. And I'm just like, these journalists, it's really funny to hear them yelling that because they have no idea what they're talking about. It's like, I don't know or care. Look, she said, I disavow white nationalism. I was speaking to people who cared about America. But the journalists are all like, but it's a white nationalist conference. And it's like, okay, I guess, if you say so. What is that? You're not even asking me a question. You're just saying a thing over and over again. Sure, white nationalism is stupid. I get it. Marjorie Taylor Greene has opinions. Question her opinions and ask her something about it.
What is white nationalism? I mean, I'll ask this from time to time because definitions change from time to time. So what is it today?
Well, Wikipedia has dubbed me the expert.
I'm glad you're here. Maybe you can help me.
It's simple.
I think it means you have borders. That's what I've come down to. You have borders.
The actual white nationalism is people who believe that there should be a country just for white people.
So it's like racial supremacy.
But that's like the real definition. That's
right, the real definition. Of course. So when they come out and they're accusing you, what they're trying to claim is that you're a white person who thinks there should be a country just for white people. Or if you're a white nationalist in America, you think America should just be for white people or whatever. The problem is, I told the story before. There was a guy from the Boston Globe who wrote that the based stick man. You remember him, right?
Yeah.
They said
deep lore.
Right.
That's deep lore. Way back in the day.
They said he was a white nationalist, and I said he wasn't. He was in a relationship with an Asian woman, had a mixed race kid, and the guy goes, "Well, he's white, right?" And I was like, "Well, he's a white guy, yeah. He's a nationalist, right?" Yes. He goes, "He's a white nationalist."
There you go. Yeah.
That is the dirty game they play. See, now you can't sue him. Describe the color of someone's skin and then say that they're, you know, Ian, you believe in freedom?
I do.
You're a white freedomist.
Oh, wait. Well, let's slow this down a little bit. I paid, first of all. No Cuban is white or black.
My favorite one is in Canada. There was this story about all these mass graves that were discovered.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so there's no actual mass graves discovered by the UN standard mass grave. You know, it's multiple bodies buried in one area after, some sort of war crime. You know, nefarious killings that have happened. They actually found some graveyards. Some are just made up. Others are graveyards that have lost the markings because a lot of people used, poor Catholics and indigenous communities used wooden crosses. And they called these all mass graves, a genocide committed by Canada.
It was,
our prime minister commented on it.
They were
and they
Catholic
gave
27, schools?
Yeah, Catholic schools. They have, near residential schools. But in some cases, the residential schools were built like 13 years after the graveyard was even there.
They were saying that like nuns were executing children. Burying them in unmarked graves.
Our mainstream media literally was saying that when they were interviewing people, saying the nuns were throwing babies in the incinerator under the school. Like, this is serious stuff. And they gave $27 million for the investigation. Mass graves on every headline. And if you question any of them about it, a few, like New York Times and stuff, took away the word mass graves. They were like, oh, that's wrong. I questioned someone about it, and they're like, well, it's a graveyard, isn't it? So there's graves there, and there's it's large,
a lot of people,
which means mass.
Mm-hmm. We went to mass grave. Like they had a funeral mass before they were buried.
Oh, yeah.
That's not by mass grave.
Right.
But it is a mass grave. That just doesn't mean that they were executed.
Well, but when people use the term mass grave, they're referring specifically to a giant hole that is dug to throw a bunch of bodies in there so you can hide the evidence that you murdered them.
Because a graveyard is not a mass grave, right?
Right.
This was a graveyard.
Or
it
not
wasn't
even necessarily hide the evidence, but you get what I mean, putting people in unmarked graves.
There were no pits.
Well, like, it's not about hiding evidence. It's like literally just dumping bodies and desecrating.
Carelessly, yeah.
All right, here we go. Roman says, when a coworker proudly tells me they're a communist and then shames me for voting for Trump, my mind goes blank. What would you say? This happens to me all the time in California. I would say, okay. Like, if I worked at a company and someone walked up to me and said, Tim, and I said, yes, they were, I'm a communist, I would go, okay. And they would say, you voted for Trump. And I'd be like, yes. That's stupid. I'd be like, okay. I don't know what I don't know what I wouldn't say. I'd be like, all right.
I would be, if someone's
no conversation.
Like, I'm a communist. The first thing I would say is, what's it like to be a communist?
That's a good one, actually. That's a great response. Because I don't think they could give you any real experience as to what it means to be a communist.
Also, if someone ever asks you, if you're in a conversation, someone's like, you don't know about fill in the blank? Say, should I? And it puts them on the defensive.
Well, should I? And they'll say yes, but like, tell me about it.
Yeah, then it can be legitimate.
Like, educate yourself. Go Google it. Yeah. It's not my job to do the emotional labor of instructing you.
That's what they say. All right, here we go. Hackerman says to Lauren, are you still legally a man?
In Ontario, you know, some people's gender changes with the day or weather. Mine's location based.
Really?
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I have the identification that says male. I had to get diagnosed by a doctor as a male first and then go to the Canadian version of the DMV to get it officiated.
But. Diagnosed as a male, what a term. That happened to most of us much earlier on in
life.
Like
a disease. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As soon as I was born, got that diagnosis.
All right, let's see what we got here. Chris Stoking. Says Christo King says, as a poll, I hope NATO puts troops in Ukraine for defense. Russia needs the government reform, not Ukraine. Interesting. I was wondering what people in Poland think.
It's been amazing. Poland and Hungary have taken in mass amounts of refugees, and they've done a lot of support for the Ukrainian people. And they've always been portrayed as oh, you guys hate refugees. You don't support anyone. They've completely opened their borders for these Ukrainian refugees.
It's specifically because they're culturally similar.
Right. And is that a bad thing? I don't think that's bad.
And they speak basically the same language.
So it has nothing to do with them being anti-refugee or anything. It's completely about, just people that are
taking Canadian refugees
to assimilate to their culture.
Taking I don't want to point out any particular person, but someone that doesn't identify with the culture, Christianity, things like that. Mm-hmm. I understand that now.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Faulkner says, Facebook is having trouble tonight. Possible cyber attack? It could be. I mean, to be honest, you wouldn't know. You would not know. We were having internet issues, and every so often you'll see major internet outages. And what y'all need to understand is that if say China were to hit the U.S. internet for 5 minutes a day, every day for 2 years, that adds up in economic damage. And if they're trying to grow their economy faster than ours, it adds up.
Oh, wow. Traffic siege warfare.
That's right. So look, imagine the Cold War, the U.S. and Russia are trying to gain territory. Imagine it was digital and you could stop them in their tracks by, activating code. Why wouldn't you? So you don't need to destroy their infrastructure overnight. You just need to stagger their growth enough so that you can become a lot bigger and then absorb them and shut them down.
So this is an interesting thing I've observed. When I speak to military friends of mine, they tell me how valuable technology that has no computers in it is, like having a car that has no computer in it. And even just, I had a few friends, they drove into a river and the water started coming up and they luckily had roll down windows instead of electric windows and saved their asses. Whoa. In a lot of countries, when you have warfare going on, you want that stuff that's not going to fail. You want stuff that you can't boom, short circuit the computer, take it over. So having older technology can actually be the way to get around that. A lot of troops would use systems to place everyone, but now they're having to go back and learn navigation so that their stuff can't be hacked and tracked where the troops are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
All right. Remy says, a site called Nuke Map has an overlay where you can pick a location and select any nuke dropped or tested to see if see the fireball radius, blast radius, radiation, etc. Yes, radiation's intentional. That they make nukes that have no radiation. That's on purpose. They want people to suffer.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
That's brutal.
Nuke map.
Yeah, man.
It's not good.
The best, if you're in the blast radius or you're in the radius, you're probably better off in the blast radius than the radiation radius.
This one's calculating. I went to nukeradzone.org/nukemap. It's those downtown Manhattan. It doesn't go from river to river, the blast zone.
Well, which nuke have you chosen?
Chose for me.
Yeah, pick like Sarbama.
Perhaps I spoke too soon. It's too complicated for me right now.
Oh, see, there you go.
Nuke map.
Nuke map, eh?
Cool idea.
Jeff Depkin says, Churchill and Coventry, due to the Allies cracking the Enigma machine, they knew Coventry would be bombed. Churchill did nothing to avoid giving away the fact that they had cracked the code.
Hmm.
Man. David Miller says, don't know Tim, but I remember when he was in NY at that shooting.
And that shooting.
And oh, that yeah. shooting. When he was in New York and that shooting.
Near your apartment?
Was mm-hmm. that the one at my apartment? Yeah. I was like sitting in my boxers playing Destiny, the video game, the space fantasy one.
I had a dude shot in my apartment in New York too.
It wasn't in my apartment. A helicopter
it was downstairs,
flew like right
in a different
over
building.
My house, my apartment. I was like, what? I looked outside and I got a text and they were like, are you near the shooting? I was like, what? And then I look and I see cops everywhere and the street lights are like shut off and, you know, two cops got executed.
I got home and there was the police tape around my apartment. They're like, dude, the dude downstairs got shot from a drug deal gone wrong and they wouldn't let me inside.
Jeez.
New York City.
Nice.
All right. Doreen DeLeonardo says, Gary Null is suing Wikipedia. Reach out to him and join his effort. Have him on as a guest. P.S. We love your show, Tim. Hey, appreciate it.
Oh, look him up. Gary. All right, Gary let's hang out.
Seriously, JK says, did you see the Lex Fridman Zuckerberg interview? It was the creepiest creepy that ever creeped.
So interesting.
I heard that he failed the Turing test.
Oh, did he?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was two AI going crazy together. I loved it. I saw about 40 minutes or 30 minutes of it so far, and it seems like Mark, one of the things that he said that was notable. Two things. One thing he said, he's obsessed and wants creative commerce. It's a big part of the future of the metaverse is creative commerce. Mark, what you need to know is that child slavery is also a form of creative commerce. Kids are being rocked on Roblox right now, getting 17% thereabout of the money that Roblox has taken in from the games they make. That's creative commerce, so you gotta watch out. Second is, he finally, Mark now understands, he used to think everyone should have one identity on the internet, and now he's looking at people should have masses of anonymous identities as well, which I think is a huge breakthrough for the mindset of the guy that's running Facebook right now.
Kosh Naranek says, come on, Tim, I want to hear you say Big Chungus.
Well, there you go.
What did you just say?
We have a really good idea, Seamus. We have a really good idea.
Oh, yeah?
We want to make a show called Mall Store, a new YouTube channel. And the idea is we were at the mall and there was like crappy arcade that was like half broken. And I was like, we should open a mall store and do weird things with it. And so the idea is we would rent out a space. It would be called Mall Store.
Dude.
But then what we do is like once a week we change the advertisement.
Oh my goodness.
So we had my brother's idea was to put a laundromat in the middle of the mall. Cause then you have to like come with your dirty laundry into a shopping mall and like walk into a mall. Just like weird things like that.
Dude, we should have one and call it aquarium and just put a bunch of dogs with snorkels inside of tanks of water and just see if anyone's willing to say anything. You just have a bunch of people
but
in there
standing,
pretending.
Not swimming.
Yeah, exactly. And have people there like pretending that they are acknowledging it's an aquarium. Like you hire people to be like, whoa, look at the fish, and see how many people.
This is a level
of rich
to say that
something.
I can't comprehend.
It's not that expensive, Kevin. it's like you could rent a mall
because you were banned from Patreon,
like
Lauren.
$100 or like $1,000 a month.
This is like they've gone too far. Science has gone too far. The mind of man.
No,
I can.
Did you hear about that guy who created Hampshire? Like what? Rapture from BioShock, but with hamsters under a lake.
That's cool. Under a lake?
Well, he was trying to put it, he started Hampshire. Building it in like little tanks and stuff. And then his idea was he was going to build it under a lake.
I can certainly understand that Seamus talking about getting a bunch of underwater dogs with snorkels and tanks
snorkels
is very expensive.
Putting them in tanks.
I was thinking.
No, it's not that you go to a rescue shelter and borrow some. And
I was thinking it would be fun to
find homes for them. You know?
We could do kind of like social experiments. One idea.
That doesn't
fun. One idea I had was to put up a sunset free wallet. And it's an empty mall store with lights, cameras in the corners, and there's a wallet sitting on a pedestal right in the middle of the room with like a guy's ID in it and like credit cards and money just to see what people would do. Something like that.
Yeah, like what's the catch?
I think it's brilliant. Right. No, I think that's a great idea.
It's
oh
Dada.
My gosh. So wait, how often would it be a new store there?
The idea is we would do a video once a week where we do some kind of social experiment in mall store.
Okay. So yeah. every week the name
so
of the
like,
store changes. That's brilliant.
Like one of the ideas we had was a store called Ian's Things. And it's just like Ian's stuff and like pictures of Ian.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Imagine posters in the windows of Ian modeling his own clothes. Yeah.
Like this shirt.
Right.
He was like 20 years old. My dad gave it to me.
And
like
Ian is just
large.
At the cash register, like haggling with people over the prices of things. Like, no, he's like, I guess 15 bucks.
Like Craigslist in real life.
Yeah. I'm Craig
one
now.
Of the other ideas was to take mandates to the absurd degree. So like, you gotta get swabbed, you've gotta get tested, you have to wear a full hazmat suit, but we sell things really, really cheap. So we would do like at cost iPhones, but you gotta come in a full hazmat suit. It's a mandate, we're a private business, we can do what we want and see how many people are willing to jump through the hoops to get it.
Should have a use the mask store. Like used COVID masks. Be like, no, I mean, it's for the science. The science says it works.
That
they're cheaper.
In Japan, when I was in Japan, they had used girls' panties. Oh. And like, you could put like vending machines. Yep. Yeah.
What?
And they'd have pictures of the girls that used the panties on it.
And like anybody, like 14 year olds.
Man-made horrors beyond our comprehension.
So,
that is so disgusting.
Can we talk about this later tonight?
That's crazy.
You don't know about Japan, dude?
We're doing an after show. All right.
Okay, we should talk
about people.
All right, everybody. Smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show if you like it. Go to timcast.com because we're going to carry the conversation over to the members only section where Ian has some very interesting questions, I guess.
Goodness.
And we're going to talk about the refugee processing at the border because some of these countries are just banning black people from coming in. But what they're really saying is it's for the local population, not for migrants. So we will talk about that. It'll be interesting. Again, go to timcast.com. Become a member. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL, basically everywhere. You can follow me at TimCast. Lauren, do you have anything to shout out?
Yeah. I mean, check my socials at Lauren_Southern on Twitter, Lauren Southern on YouTube. I'll be announcing my new film, American Mirage, soon. It'll hopefully be on Odyssey, YouTube, all that good stuff. And thank you for having me on. It's been too long. It's been years since we've seen each other.
Yeah, I know.
It's wild.
You're in another
congratulations
continent.
On everything you've done.
Oh, thank you.
Incredible.
You haven't gotten the full tour yet.
I'm excited.
All right.
You came from carrying that GoPro on the ground everywhere. Truly, like, made it from the bottom to the top. Oh, yeah.
Well, here we go. We got a lot more to do.
I'm Seamus Coughlin. I'm here to promote my upcoming show, Mall Store. We're going to be opening a used grocery store for lightly used and refurbished groceries.
That's a good idea. Good.
Let's do it. Now, I have a YouTube channel called Freedom Tunes. We upload a new cartoon every single Thursday, sometimes on Tuesdays as well. I also like to hang out here, do commentary, join the podcast, and help with the vlog. So I'd highly recommend you guys check out Freedom Tunes. I think you'll enjoy it, and I hope you all have a lovely rest of your night.
I love you, everyone. Thanks for coming. Lauren, great to meet you and see you
it's
finally.
It's a pleasure.
And thank
I
you for
you
all the work
you've done. I hope you didn't cast any spells on me.
No. I'll do it on it. I'll let you know when I'm doing it, though. It's more about free energy. You know, I'm a light Jedi in that way. They use flame instead of electric current. See you later.
And I got to fix my camera. I don't know if you guys know, but I can't do this unless it's visible to me. So here's the wide shot.
Can't you just press a preset?
Is that the wide shot?
That's it.
That's
the wide shot right there. Looking at us. Doesn't it feel like an invasion of your privacy?
Yeah I like when I'm like
moving around. I know. Yeah.
Oh, you're back. Yeah. Does that get your back?
Lydia can see everything you're saying about her from that camera. Everything.
I was only texting about Lydia the whole time.
I know. Understandable. Seamus, I was going to say there. I have actually been to stores where you can buy slightly used groceries that are like maybe expired or like beat up.
Like expired is not used. Expired is not used.
I can tell you some stories about stuff in Chicago, man.
Yeah, same idea in Colorado.
I never saw any of that.
Yeah, so I'm sorry to take the wind out of your sails. I think that sounds like a great show. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in for our third swatting. I think we get like a prize once we hit 5 or something.
A free yogurt.
Yeah, like a free yogurt. Yeah. Anyway, you guys can follow me on Twitter and minds.com at Sarah Patchlin.
Yogurt. We will see all of you at timcast.com around 11 for that member segment. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see y'all there.
Bye.